Zombie Six Pack, April Fool's 4/1/12. Yeah, it's been a little while since we did a podcast, and it's not for bad reasons. Not because we're lazy. It's not because we just didn't feel like it. Just had both of us had some real heavy shit just go down, and now we're getting back into it. We're getting back to the grind. We're gonna be cranking these out at least once a week for you guys. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it a lot. Steven, you have anything to say?
No, yeah, we promised you guys a good guest. And the only reason really why this came together this weekend is because we happened to be hanging out all weekend and we were like, we might as well record a podcast. Pretty much what happened was, I don't know if you guys listened to the last podcast, but I actually stayed at Mike's place last month.
While you were on drill.
Yeah, and normally when I have drill, I stay at my grandparents' house, my bubby. I usually stay at her place, and for whatever reason...
Well, it's convenient for
yeah,
you.
It was convenient because, you know, we wanted to do the podcast, so I stayed at Mike's house that weekend. Well, fast forward to Wednesday of after we recorded, I think it was...
3 days later.
We recorded it on a Saturday night. And fast forward to Wednesday, and 6:30 in the morning, my sister comes and she says, Steve, Bubby had a stroke. Run downstairs in my underwear, my parents crying, sister's crying, you know, I'm crying in seconds, and that day we drove up to the Cherry Hill area, which is... for those who are all around the country who never heard of Cherry Hill, it's about 15 minutes from Philadelphia. It's right there, like right over the bridge.
Nice area.
Yeah, very nice area. On the way there, we get rear-ended. It was a fucking mess.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah, fucking mess.
No, it wasn't serious. It was just a little fender bender.
The accident, yeah, it is what it is. I mean... But at the time, you know, you're going up to see your grandmother, my mom's case, her mother. After she had a fucking stroke, you know. Words really can't describe. If you ever met my bubby, she's really one of the most special people I've ever met. And I don't say that lightly. She's seriously just amazing. Update now to where we're at. She's on home hospice care, so, I mean, it is what it, you know, it fucking sucks.
How's she doing now?
She goes in and out. For a while, what was awesome was, you know, when we were up there, she had her brain still. Like, she was talking to us, and
she's aware.
Recognized, and she was aware. The last time I was there, what was it? Last weekend, I was over there, and, she doesn't remember from 10 minutes ago. Now I mean, like, she'll recognize you, but then she'll forget you were even there. It's not good, Mike. It's really not you know, good. So that, and then you had.
Yeah, I mean.
Jesus Christ! What a fucking month, man. Go ahead.
It's 2 weeks after Steve had his bubby had the stroke. This actually happened. On St. Patrick's Day, it happened the night before St. Patrick's Day, but I wasn't informed until later in the day. And I'm at my friend Dutch's house. My friend Dutch runs a little radio station, FuriousRadio.com. We play music, DJs talk a little bit. We can talk about whatever you want. It's kind of like this podcast. It's uncensored form. Mainly we play music, and each DJ has their own little style. But getting away from that, I was going out with Dutch for St. Patty's Day, and I get a call from my sister, and she informed me that my grandmother had passed that night, that just passed. And we were like literally walking out the door, and now the situation with my grandmother is a little bit different. My grandmother is 98 years old, and everybody knew it was it's on the horizon. I mean, you can see it coming. So it wasn't a huge shock, but at the same time, you know, it was still sad. And, you know, I was kind of bummed out. It kind of put a damper on the night, you know. And I was out in Philly. You know, I had already been drinking. So, you know, the bar was right down the street. I was like, you know what? You know, I'd go out, try to have a good time, have a few beers, hang out with friends, and then, you know, the next day, you know, go and spend it with the family, which I did. And I'm glad that I did. Kind of got it out of my system, you know. Like, I found out that news, and I was like, oh, it just sucks. It really does. Like, I just don't have words for it.
No,
But at the same time, like, you explain what your buddy's going through right now, and I kind of went through something similar to that with my grandfather. He died back in 2001, in January. And what happened with him was he fell, and he broke his hip, and it was a downhill slide from there. But he kind of went through something similar. I know it wasn't a brain injury or anything like that, but it got to the point where he started, you know, forgetting stuff and not being all totally there, and we had to watch him deteriorate. Whereas with my grandmother, she went in her sleep.
Right.
You know, she had to be rushed to the hospital or anything like that. And in fact, my aunt, she was there that night. She was visiting for the weekend, and she was talking during the eulogy, or actually at Mass. She got up to say a few words, and she said, you know, Grandma was there the whole time. She had her mind, she had everything. In fact, the one of the last things she did before she went to sleep that night was she was cleaning. 98 years old.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, no. Yeah. It's, you're in a totally different situation. Like, I'm 28, and I say this all the time. I'm one of the luckiest people in the world, because 28 years old, I still have all four of my grandparents. And I don't know too many people who are like that. I really don't. I mean,
just lost my last one.
So, exactly. I mean, just complete opposite. And I can't imagine. And then it's like, you know, that happens. Then I find out my grandfather this week, Bell's palsy. This week, my grandfather in New York, my other grandmother found a lump in her breast. Mm. Dude, it's scary, scary shit right now.
Well, I mean, with breast cancer, I mean, they're pretty far along with that now. You can,
yeah, but for
they catch it early
elderly
now.
People, it's like,
yeah.
You know,
and how old is she?
She's in her 80s.
Yeah. I mean, what do you really do at that point? If you were 80 years old and you found out that you had cancer, now let's just say it's like they caught it early enough that they could treat it, but you had to go through like chemo and all that.
Chemo is tough.
I know, but you're 80 years old.
Yeah, that's
right?
What I mean.
So what do? Do you just enjoy the time that you've got left, or do you roll the dice and see if you can beat it? But then you have to go through all this shit.
See, like the thing that like I'm watching with my bubby right now is like, once one thing goes wrong, then something else goes wrong, and something else. It's
like dominoes.
Yeah, and when you're at that age, it's like your body doesn't get better; it gets worse.
No, I I'm just starting to experience it now. I'm 29, and like stuff that happens to me now, that like for example, we were rolling, not on e-pills, or rolling as in like doing a little bit of jiu-jitsu, what was it, like 2 months ago?
Oh, yeah.
And I pulled a muscle in my ribcage. If I was 17 years old, that would have been like maybe a day, maybe two tops, I would have been over it. I had trouble sleeping for 3 weeks. I couldn't get comfortable, it hurt. I was like, jeez, it really is. I remember hearing people say that, like, not even 5 years ago. I'm like, come on. Does that really happen? Yeah, yes, it does, kids. Believe it, it's true.
Nah, I mean, like, I still play ball close to every day, but, like, dude, if I play, like, 3 days straight and, like, I'm going on that fourth day, my legs are shot by that fourth day. And, I mean, I'm 28. Like, that's really on me because we're still young. If we made a concerted effort of taking care of ourselves, we're, like, our body's in, like, the perfect prime
for the right now.
Year or two. You know what I mean? After this, it's all downhill. It doesn't... But right now, I mean, we should really be, like, fucking monsters, but we're not, so...
Yeah, I'm trying to change that a little bit. Yeah, diet is important. Diet's very important. That's another thing that I've been, I never really was like a gym rat, or I never really worked out all that much, lifting weights or anything like that. I had in spurts, but for one reason or another, some good reasons, some bad reasons, I had to stop. And, whether I was working out or not, I always had like a nice flat stomach. I had not really overly defined, but like you could tell it was there, like a six pack. And I'd have like toned arms and legs, and I didn't work out. And now, dude, I got a little gut going on that I definitely want to get rid of because it's disgusting. And I just need to get in better shape. And the first thing that I've changed is my diet. I don't want to say I'm working on changing it. It's more like of a gradual change. Because right now, before today, or before this week, this is a recent change that I just made.
I'm about to go Joe Rogan on Red Band with you smoking.
Hey, that's the next thing on the list.
That should be the first thing. Fuck your diet.
We'll see here.
There's cancer shits out of your fucking mouth. Mm-hmm. Fuck that.
You see, you're about to go, Joe, or you just did. All right.
I mean,
no, but my job, I work on the road. So I'm in the car.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Well, no, I'm not talking. I'm switching back to the whole diet thing.
Oh, my bad.
I'm on the road, so I mean, when you're out on the road, what is there? And also keep in mind that I don't have a lot of time, so I can't like go to some place and sit down and have someone serve me. I need something quick that I can just grab and eat. And you know what are your options? You got fast food, and you got like a handful of places like Subway that have like decent stuff. So you know, I would, and Subway isn't exactly, you know, there isn't exactly one on every corner. Like there's a fast food restaurant. You know, there's always like a Wendy's or a Burger King or a McDonald's somewhere, Arby's. Whereas Subway, I kind of have to drive out of my way too, and I don't always have the time to do that. So what I've actually been doing is I'll still go to the fast food place, but I won't order the burgers, I won't order the chicken, and if I order the chicken, it's got to be grilled. And what I've actually been doing lately is I've been getting the salads. And now the salads are not exactly the greatest either, because of the dressings that they have there are still fattening. If you read the nutritional information, especially like the Caesar salad, Caesar dressing's terrible for you.
Agreed.
So what I'm actually thinking about doing as a remedy to that, because you can get when you order the salad at McDonald's or wherever, they'll ask you, do you want the dressing? You have the option of saying yes or no.
So what? Yeah, balsamic vinaigrette.
That's what I'm talking. The only one I've tried so far is McDonald's salads. I haven't gone anywhere else yet. But what I'm thinking about doing is going out and getting myself some dressing, bringing it with me. Bring my own dressing and get the salad with no dressing and put my own dressing on it. And that'd be a lot healthier. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Giddy up. So, just trying to get my diet better, trying to get in shape. You know, I've been doing a home workout, no weight training at all or anything like that. Just wake up, you know, do 3 sets of 10 push-ups in the morning, do like 50 crunches, 50 sit-ups, do some jumping jacks until you get tired, do some squats. You know, it's all about doing little things, because if you force your body to do it, once it gets used to it, then you can build upon that. And now I'm starting to sound like Joe Rogan. You want to promote the flashlight too?
Nah, that's all you, man. I know how much you need. You like those kinds of things.
I've never used a flashlight.
Not me.
I never even held one in my hand, much less seen one.
I never even saw a picture of one.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't.
You liar.
Seconds from now.
You lie. You've never seen a picture of the flashlight? It's a rubber pussy. It looks like a flashlight, the poor imitation of one at that. And the cap screws off, and there's a rubber pussy underneath the lid.
Oh yeah, what do you know? Good for them. Apparently, it's a fine product.
Apparently, it is.
Why now we're promoting it like fucking idiots? Who the fuck?
Hey, maybe we'll get a sponsorship.
Yeah, right.
Not yet, anyway.
That's
right. Tell your friends, kiddies, because you know we're actually going to start promoting this ourselves. But our biggest promoters are you, the listeners. Because you tell your friend, you go out and you tell five friends, and then those five friends will tell five of their friends, and next thing you know, we got hundreds, thousands of listeners, and that's what our goal is. And this podcast is always going to be free.
Well, hopefully we'll be big enough where we can charge you guys like thousands of dollars. And we started off on like a really somber note, and we didn't really do any preparation for this because, like we said before, we
kind of threw this together.
We threw it together just at the. So I mean, I don't know how much current events we're going to be discussing, or I don't know, crazy. So
there's a few out there. I mean, we could talk about the Dodger sale.
Dodger sale. You asked me this before, and I really said I don't have too much of an opinion on it. That's what they bought it for, so that's what it is.
You're right, but they bought it for $2.15 billion.
Okay, so what's your opinion? Like, I don't understand.
What's my opinion? I think they overpaid for it.
Okay,
massively.
But what's
the next highest bid was $1.4 billion.
Okay, but there was a silent auction, so you don't know what the bid was before that, right?
Was it a silent auction?
Obviously, why would they buy it for what they paid for unless it...
See, here's the other thing.
You know what I mean?
I don't think they're getting... McCourt still owns half the parking lot.
Yeah.
And they overpaid for it.
That's a good deal for him, I mean, for McCourt.
Well, I did
apparently
hear...
Apparently, Dodger fans love this McCourt, though. It's weird.
Why?
I don't know.
He used the franchise as his personal ATM.
Yeah, I really don't know too much about...
He's the reason why the team fell off the face of the earth as far as relevancy.
He's popular.
What if this asshole came and bought the Lakers? And
that would never happen. Don't ever talk about that.
Well, I'm just saying, what if this happened to the Lakers?
It's kind of happening now with the Lakers. What's happening right now with the Lakers
I kind of have an idea what's going on with that. And
I want to hear just...
Well, what's the owner's name?
Jim Buss.
Jerry Buss.
Excuse me.
He's kind of getting old, too old to cope and deal with the daily, what's the word I'm looking for? The tasks that an owner needs to do or perform in order to properly run a team. So he's got his kids kind of taking over the family business.
He's got Jeannie Buss, who Laker fans love, and then you got Jim Buss. And Jim Buss, I don't know. The more I'm looking into it, he's kind of getting a bad rap. So, I don't know. The same thing's happening with the Lakers that happened with the Yankees a couple of years ago when...
Steinbrenner
died. Yeah. So,
The kids have a different approach to it, and they... From what I understand, they didn't like the coach, or, the previous coach that the Lakers had.
Well, yeah... Yeah, okay. So, Jim Buss doesn't like Phil Jackson.
Yeah, he doesn't like
Mike,
Phil Jackson.
Here's a guy who barely knows anything about basketball. Let's see what Mike knows about Phil Jackson. How many championships does he have?
Seven.
Less than I thought. He has 11 championships. Okay, the guy's got 11 championships. Look, Phil Jackson...
I know he has a lot.
He was leaving at the end of last year regardless, okay? Now, the issue was, and now we're really seeing it, because I really try to kind of tote the company line here and be a loyal Laker fan and be like, all right, well, I support the team, da-da-da-da, with the Mike Brown hiring. Well, they interviewed Brian Shaw, who was Phil Jackson's assistant, who, by all accounts, everyone on the team loved. I loved him. He used to be a former player with us. He was very popular. They gave him, like, a token interview, like, we're interviewing you because we have to, and then they went on out and hired Mike Brown to take the team in a new direction. They didn't want to run the triangle offense that won. How many championships, Mike?
11.
11 championships this fucking offense won.
But,
and he doesn't want to hire...
Well, not only did they move in a different direction from the triangle offense, they blew out his entire staff, didn't they?
Completely.
Trainer, everything...
No, Gary Vee's still there. The trainer's still there.
But, I mean, as far as people that would implement coaching...
Yeah. I mean, usually it's pretty similar, though, to, like, the NFL. Like, the head coach brings in their own assistants and everything.
How many assistants did he have?
4 or 5.
4 or 5? What do these 4 or 5 guys do? They work with individual players in individual positions?
Work with individual players. A lot of times what will happen is each assistant coach will be assigned, like, 5 teams in the next, like, 3 weeks to, you know, do research on and scout and everything.
So oh, all right. So
they're doing preparations so the head coach can focus on in-game stuff and go from there. That's usually what happens in the NBA.
Where are these assistant coaches during the games? Are they up in the box? They're on the bench?
Yeah.
See, I don't watch basketball. But however, I've kind of seen the light. You explaining shit to me, watching a game, kind of piques my interest a little bit.
Like I always said, my favorite two sports are basketball and MMA. And I think they're two sports. I think even football is like that too. Once you really know what you're watching, the game, it gets fucking awesome because you're like, that's like you were trying to explain hockey to me yesterday, and it was. I still maintain, like, I'm not trying to be fucking close-minded. I'm really not. Mike knows I've been to hockey games. I sat there and talked to 2 Indian guys who were sitting next to me, and they were trying to, you know, they were explaining the game, and I thought I learned a little bit from listening to these guys. But,
Well, I was just going to say, I don't really have the deepest understanding of hockey either. I played in high school. I played for 1 season. I actually went to St. Augustine Prep. It's in Richland, New Jersey, if you ever want to look it up. It's a St. Augustinian school, blah, blah, blah. Well, they brought in a
hockey team.
They're
sponsoring the podcast.
No, they don't. Fuck that. Hell no. And I still get letters from them asking for money. I drive past that school every once in a while. Dude, they're doing fine. They built tennis courts. They built a new gym. They got, like, a whole new wing on that motherfucker. They don't need my $20, right? Anyway, so, like, I was on the first St. Augustine Prep hockey team, varsity start, I was a third line center. Now, I wasn't the greatest hockey player. I started playing hockey when I was, like, 10, 11, 12. I was a goalie.
Did you guys, like, run... Okay, so you were a goalie, so you weren't even looking at, like, how the offenses were...
No. I played center in ice hockey.
Oh, okay.
But when I played street hockey when I was younger, I was a goalie. But, I mean, when you're playing youth street hockey, 10, 11, 12, how much is that? Is that really, like, playing your position and just being in the right spot as opposed to actually running a play? You know what I mean? Playing youth street hockey is kind of like playing street ball. You know what I mean? There aren't really plays or offenses that are implemented. You were talking about this earlier. There's a basic play that you guys run up. You just like, yo, let's do a pick and roll, and everything from there is kind of like ad libbed.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, with a pick and roll, you gives you so many different options. I mean, and that's just in a fucking pickup game, let alone, you know, you're running a legit offense. All right, you run the pick and roll. As soon as you see the screen, the guy cuts back door. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you're running a legit offense...
Hockey's kind of the same way. When I in high school, the high school level, I know. At the high school level, I kind of just... We had concepts as opposed to, like, offenses. Like, we would do the dump and chase where we would get the puck in our zone and we would skate it up to center ice, throw the puck in, and then your wingers go down and they fight for the puck. The center, he usually wants to play in the slot right in between the two circles in front of the net, and your defenseman set up at the blue line. And that's basically how an offense is set up with hockey. And there's different ways to do it. You cycle the puck around. You cycle the puck on the boards, and you try and get open passing lanes so you can get a pass for an open shot. And it's really a lot of ad-libbing with hockey.
So then you see why one could call hockey a big clusterfuck.
I kind of get it, but like you said, if you have a deeper understanding of what's going on, you have a better appreciation for it.
Well, that's why that Rangers Flyers, what was it, like Rangers Flyers 24/7 that was on HBO, like, I'm not even a hockey fan, and I thought that shit was pretty entertaining, like, because it took you into the locker room, and see, here's the thing, like, when I was watching it, like, you didn't see too many breakdowns of plays. It was, you know what I mean, it was... Oh, you gotta hit that motherfucker when he gets into the corner and did it. Like, it was like shit like that. It didn't seem like there was like a huge strategy, a lot of thinking to it. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what.
Like, I've never heard anyone go, oh, he has a good hockey IQ.
There isn't really a hockey IQ.
All right, now in basketball, if you have high bat, like me, I'm 5'5", I'm a little white guy. If I was a fucking idiot, I'd be done out there.
Well,
because I know the game, and I have... Everyone says your b-ball IQ makes you so much better than you actually are, because you know what you're seeing every second. I got fucking 6'8 black guys going, I'll take him first out of the most athletic people in the world, because he knows what the fuck he's doing out there. You know what I mean?
With hockey is more of a physical, I'm going to outwork you type of sport, where you usually, if you have similar talent on each team, the one that works the hardest, the ones that push the hardest, are the ones usually that are getting to the loose pucks, getting more scoring opportunities than the other team. That's what hockey is all about. It's outworking your opponent, and obviously the physical aspect of it, like checking and things like that, all come along with it. It's part of the sport. But the way to get an edge in hockey is to have that physical endurance and have that extra push that the other team doesn't have. It's all about coming up with loose pucks, getting to the puck first at the board so you can dig it out and get it to your guy. And then you talk about goaltending, that's even more different. I mean, even when there's play going on away from the puck as well, you got positioning in front of the net, there's a battle there, there's a battle with the goaltender. When I was a goaltender in street hockey, I would get physical. Like, guys would try and get all up in my face and try and create a screen. I'd be pushing them out of the way, you know, as well as my teammates. It's a very, very physical sport. I mean,
I've never said hockey wasn't physical.
Oh, I know.
You'd have to be a fucking
expert
to say it wasn't.
But what I'm saying is that it's more of a physical game than a thinking game.
Basketball is pretty physical. It's a different kind of physical. You know what I mean?
Right. Hockey, you can't just, like, you know, when the point guard will walk the ball up, there's no such thing as walking the puck up. You're skating. You're skating hard. You're skating fast. And then once you get into the zone with basketball, you kind of sit there and you're dribbling the ball, you're waiting for your guys to get set up. There is nothing like that. It's all constant motion with hockey.
Well, there's constant motion in basketball. It's a different motion. Like you said, like one of the big things with the Lakers that I'm seeing this year is it takes too long for our offense to get into our our offense, if that makes sense.
It takes too long to set up.
Our offense takes way too long to set up. So by the time our offense sets up, there's like 7 seconds left on the shot clock, and now you got to take a tough shot. What do you think of the coconut water? No?
It's weird.
Dude, it's so good for
It's not awful. Not to get completely off subject, but go ahead.
Sorry. So, no. What was that? Oh, fuck me. Oh.
You're talking about the Lakers offense takes
way too long to set up.
All right, now, explain their offensive philosophy to me, because I don't even understand the triangle offense.
Triangle offense is very... It's a sophisticated offense. That's why... That's why you had guys... Here's the thing. That's why you had guys like Derek Fisher and a Luke Walton, because they were high B-ball IQ guys. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The Lakers always, up until this year, brought in smart players, you know, who can really... Now, the Lakers' offense is... See, it's a lot of isolation and a lot of pick and roll. So you'll see... The Lakers run a very standard offense because Mike Brown isn't a good offensive coach.
He's defensive-minded coach.
Exactly. So it's a lot of... Like, if you watch... You know where he used to coach before, right?
Wasn't he... He wasn't with the Sixers.
No, he was with Cleveland. He was coaching LeBron.
Cleveland. Yeah.
Okay, and LeBron... That whole offense was get the ball to LeBron and clear out. Like, the guy...
Well, I mean, that was his offensive philosophy because they didn't really have anybody else on that team.
Yeah, that's why Mo Williams was a multi-time All-Star. That's why Ilgauskas was a multi-time All-Star.
Mo Williams was a multi-time All-Star before or after LeBron?
With LeBron.
With LeBron?
Yeah.
Okay, is he still making All-Star games?
He's been hurt the last 2 years. He hasn't really had a chance to play.
And so we can't really answer that question.
And Ilgauskas was an All-Star with LeBron, but that was like in his prime of his career. He's a 7-foot center, and he's kind of... I think he retired. You know what I mean? So, like, in his prime, he was a fucking beast.
Right.
But he would have been a beast no matter where he was. So that's bullshit. That's why I kept hearing that, oh, Cleveland sucks without LeBron. No, they had a ton of injuries last year. A ton. They had 3 starters out all year. That would have been at least a fringe playoff team without LeBron. So, it's crazy. When people are fucking dumb. People jump to these crazy conclusions.
Yeah, but I mean...
don't know anything about basketball.
But you know that LeBron elevated that team.
Of course!
It almost dropped off a cliff when he left. I mean, granted, injuries happen, but you could also say injuries are part of the sort.
Yeah, but there's a reason... Right?
But yeah, it's a reason, not an excuse.
Okay,
I hate excuses. There are reasons there are no excuses.
And then there's a reason. That's a reason. That's why they fucking sucked, okay? Combined the two, the fact that LeBron's gone and that 3 fucking starters are hurt, of course they're going to fucking suck. What do people expect? But people just see, people don't go, oh, well... Andrew Severo's house hurt because they never heard of him, but he's a starting power forward in the NBA. You know what I mean? If he's not starting for you and he's not playing...
He's not producing for you.
Exactly.
And you have the guy that was his backup, essentially, coming off the bench.
And
he's
playing... Andrew Severo's house, a solid power forward. He's not a great power forward. So if you're backing up Andrew Severo's house, how good can you fucking be? You know what I mean? So...
Yeah, the backup to the guy that nobody else has heard of.
Essentially. I mean, unless you're a diehard basketball fan, how would you know who Andrew Severo is? He's got the crazy long, curly hair. You know?
Yeah.
And where
were we going with this? We were talking about the Lakers offense.
Oh, and then I got the Mike Brown running the offense in Cleveland.
Yeah.
It was... Mostly give the ball to LeBron to clear out, and now that's where you see.
Is that kind of what he's doing? Give the ball to Kobe and clear out.
But there's a very good, really actually brilliant play that no team can defend, but we don't kind of want to overdo it. It's the Kobe Gasol pick and roll, right? So I wish we had video, but you essentially run a pick and roll with Kobe and Gasol. You drop the ball off to Gasol. Right, Gasol, being a fucking 7-foot power forward, can drop the ball off the bottom over the top. So instead of throwing it straight, he's throwing it over the top of the rest of the defense.
Right.
He's Bynum 7-1. You know what I mean? So it's... But
yeah,
it's
nice
fucking...
Tall, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You're not stopping that play. It's just not. So, I don't even think Mike Brown drew it up. I think it just so happened that Kobe and Gasol ran a pick and roll. The defense converged on the Gasol. And Gasol, being such a high b-ball IQ guy, was like, oh, shit, Andrew Bynum's wide open. He's got an easy dunk. Boom, here you go, big fella. Durant style. So,
how much different is the Lakers offense than what you would run out on the street?
It's different now without Derek Fisher. We have had, we just got a new point guard, and he's only started like 5 games for us. So, and the point guard, like we were saying last night, he's the quarterback. He's running the offense. Yeah. So
there's a whole chemistry thing with any team sport, really.
Yeah,
you need time to build that chemistry.
Absolutely. So, that's the thing. Like, I keep hearing, oh, the Lakers don't have that much practice time because it is a condensed schedule.
Yeah, they're playing 3-4 games in a row.
Yeah, which is unheard of during, like, a typical season. You play back-to-back, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Let alone back-to-back-to-back. That's crazy.
Aren't there some of them that are playing back-to-back-to-back?
Three's the max. Yeah, every team has to do at least one back-to-back-to-back. The Lakers say the first 3 games of the season.
Ooh. Well, I guess that's the best time.
That was perfect.
You're fresh.
Mm-hmm. And Andrew Bynum was suspended the first 4 games of the season, so it was perfect.
What was he suspended for?
Oh, what he did to J.J. Barea. YouTube Andrew Bynum, J.J. Barea. You didn't see that shit?
No, what is that?
It's what he did to J.J. Barea.
What he did to J.J. Barea. Yeah. What did he do to him?
YouTube it. Just type in Andrew Bynum on YouTube. The first thing that comes up is Andrew Bynum flagrant foul on J.J. Barea. But Mike's going to watch it really fast, and we'll kind of narrate for you guys. Did you click on the first one?
Yeah, versus Dallas.
Yeah, and there's...
What was this, in the finals?
No, I was in the playoffs last year.
Or, yeah, that's when I'm at the playoffs.
Yeah. It was...
Advertisement.
Yeah.
I need that. We need the ads because we're not going to promote whatever this ad is.
Alright, so I'll set it up while the advertisement's pretty much. Lakers are getting swept. They're down 3-0 in the series. The end of game 4. We're getting blown out. J.J. Barea is
clothesline, though.
Drew knocks him on his fucking ass, making Laker fans smile one last time at the end of the season last year because J.J. Barea killed us.
He just took his jersey off.
Yeah. It was fucking great. I loved every second. I was so happy when he fucking did this shit.
Oh, wow. He just knocked him the fuck out.
Yeah, basketball's not physical.
I never said it wasn't. But see, here's the thing. The difference between that and hockey is when you get a hit like that in hockey, you don't get ejected for it. This is just a... Just threw an elbow right into his armpit. While he's like fully extended, jumping for a layup.
If you're a player on the Lakers or if you're a Laker fan, you just send a fucking message. You know what I mean? I think we waited too long to do it. But shit, I didn't feel bad. I was happy.
So was he fine to a?
Yeah, he didn't miss any time.
What do you guys suspended?
Bynum missed the first 4 games of the season. He was suspended for.
Was there a financial?
Yeah, he was fined. I don't remember what it was.
Whatever it was chump change for him.
Yeah, but So it is what it is. You know, I didn't have any problem with it. You know, getting swept. We just won 2 championships in a row. We made it to 3 championships in a row. Yeah. Again, something in the second round. Yeah, it happens. It's basketball.
It's actually kind of like flows right into something that's going on with hockey. That, as you know, fighting is part of the game. It's allowed. I mean, granted, you do get 5 minutes in the sin bin for it.
The sin bin. I never heard that.
You never heard that? It's a hockey term for the penalty box. For all of you who do not watch hockey or have never watched hockey or have no interest in it. But yeah, you can fight in hockey, and each fighter gets a 5-minute penalty each, and basically, you know, you don't sit on your bench. There's a separate bench, and you're there for 5 minutes of actual play time. And then once the penalty's over, you come out, you come onto the ice, yada yada, you're back to full strength.
See, Joe Rogan's podcast would never promote us because we talk about sports too much, and he hates sports.
He hates sports?
Yeah. So go ahead, sorry.
Whatever. He would promote us if we bought him a fucking nice camera, wouldn't he?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, we bought you a camera, motherfucker. No, but fighting is part of the sport, and it always has been. And there's always been a spot on the hockey team for the quote-unquote goon, mm-hmm. or your enforcer. And his basic job was not to go out and pass the puck or shoot the puck or score. His job was to go out and just beat the shit out of the other team. Legally. And in some cases, illegally, meaning, you know, something that would draw a penalty. So it was, yeah, basically you would send him out there and he would just go deck whoever you wanted to send a message to, and the result of that would often lead to a fight. Now they're talking about how they should remove fighting from the game, how it shouldn't be allowed. As a fight breaks out, it should just be stopped immediately. It's kind of a gray area, because if guys are like having like a tussle, or they're like, you know, kind of like, you know, grappling, I guess you could say, with jerseys, but their gloves are still on, like, it'll get broken up. Like, they'll try to prevent it from happening, but if it happens far enough away from the refs, and both guys have dropped their gloves, and they got their dukes up and everything like that, they'll usually let it go. And okay. Once the fight goes to the ice, or somebody, rarely do you ever see somebody get knocked out, but they'll let that fight go until one guy falls down to the ice. And usually when one guy falls, the other guy falls. But they're talking about getting rid of that completely. And it's kind of controversial because there's a lot of diehard hockey fans out there, puckheads, that are like, this is part of the game. It's always been part of the game. Why do you want to get rid of it? And then there's other people that are like, this is complete nonsense. Now,
how do you feel about it?
How do I kind of have mixed emotions. Have you ever seen a live hockey fight? There a fight? They're exciting, aren't they?
Yeah, but I always hear. Here's how I'll put it. I knew some people who would be like, who's that hot ass? Angelina Jolie. Oh, Angelina Jolie's in this movie, and she's so hot. I'm gonna go see this movie. There's gonna be a fight in hockey. I'm gonna go watch hockey. There's a car crash in NASCAR. I'm gonna go watch car racing. Look. If I want to watch a fucking hot girl in a movie, I'll watch porn. If I want to watch fighting in a sport, I'll watch MMA. If I want to see cars crash against walls, against other people, I'll watch a destruction derby. There, you know. So I get. Here's the thing. I don't like it when people go, "Oh, that's why they like hockey." I've met many people.
Really?
That's why they like hockey. Yeah, MMA fans are like, oh, well, at least there's fights or something.
See, I can't agree with that person that says, I like hockey because the guys can fight. Because, you know, you're not always going to get a fight in a game. I've seen many games go by all 60 minutes and not a single fight. But then on the other hand, a couple of weeks ago, three or four weeks ago, you had a Rangers-Devils game. And this is how the game started. Apparently something had happened between the two teams. I didn't really read up on it or anything. I just heard about it, and this is how the whole controversy started, and the whole discussion started, is that something had happened between these two teams. There was bad blood, right. And there was a preset agreement between the 10 starters that were on the ice. As soon as the puck is dropped, we're just gonna all 10 of them just drop their gloves and went at the center versus center, winger versus winger, and the two defensemen skated into the middle, and it was a 10-person brawl at the beginning of the game. The puck, nobody even touched the puck yet. They just dropped. As soon as the puck hit the ice, so did the gloves, and they all just went at it right there, right then and there. And that's what kind of sparked this whole controversy. I mean, we should get rid of fighting from the sport. You know, it shouldn't be allowed.
So, what do you think?
Hey, why? It's not hurting anything. Is it really? And, you know, people have come up, well, you can't fight in the junior leagues and you can't fight in college. I was like, all right, well, fine. You want to go play college and you want to drop your gloves and you want to put your fist into a metal cage?
Well, you know? The question is, here's the way I'm going to put it. If you could play college hockey at that level and you say it's part of the game, well, they're playing hockey at a pretty high level in college and they're not fighting.
Right.
If that's able to occur, why can't professionals do it?
I'm sure they could. I'm sure they could. But it's like, it why change it?
Well, okay, I'll put you like this. If at every other level, right? How about now, do Olympics, hockey have fights?
I don't know.
We're going to get right on that.
I don't know. But here's my point, is that I think there's, obviously you're not going to let kids fight, like at the high school level and the junior level and the peewee level and all that. Obviously you're not going to let those kids fight, but you're talking about grown men. They're professionals.
In Olympic hockey, linesmen and other players will actively and are encouraged to break up fights and usually do.
Okay, well, so there is fighting in the Olympics.
Yeah, but it's broken up, is what it sounds like.
It's
broken up by other players. The players are responsible for breaking it up. Any player who doesn't break it up and who watches actively sits in the penalty box. So if the Olympics can do it and every other level does it, now you got me on this side.
Hold on.
Every other fucking level doesn't allow it. So why can't the fucking NHL?
The Olympics are different, man. You have two different countries.
So? So I don't get it.
What do you mean you don't get it?
I don't get your point.
Imagine if you have two countries that hate each other.
And?
Playing.
What if you have a hillbilly pitcher and a black guy who at bat? I don't get it. And they hate each other. Then he's going to get hit in the head with a fucking ball. Does that make it right?
No.
Okay.
But here's the thing. What's the point in changing it?
There's a reason why women's college basketball was all over SportsCenter this morning, and the NHL Frozen Four isn't even being discussed.
The NHL Frozen Four?
NCAA Frozen Four.
Okay.
The college hockey tournament, they're down to four teams, too.
Yeah.
No one's talking about that. And there's a reason why NHL regular season's going on, and no one's talking about that on ESPN or on major sports. There's a reason.
Basketball's a much more popular sport.
That and basketball, do you know the lengths of basketball? Basketball used to be, watch basketball in the 70s and fucking how ridiculously over-the-top dirty it was. They fucking stopped that shit. Why do you think football's even trying to tone down crazy hits and violence? You know what I mean? When you want that stuff, you watch fights. You watch...
Well, here's the thing. You're
watching a sport. You're watching...
NHL is also cleaning that up, too.
I'll put it to you like this. You're watching a game. It's a game, right? It's not... Like, fighting isn't... You can never call MMA a game, can you?
It's a sport.
It's a sport, but it's not a game.
Wow.
Hockey, you have a hockey game.
Right. Well, with
semantics.
Don't sit there and try and say hockey is not trying to clean up things that affect head injuries, because they are. They're developing new technology with the helmets, and they've also imposed stricter, harsher penalties and rules and regulations against blind hits and boarding and where if you go high, you can't go high anymore in hockey. Like, that used to be a common thing. Like, somebody's skating down the ice with their head down, do you throw your shoulder into the side of their head or in their face? That used to happen on a regular basis.
And so if you can't do that, why should you be allowed to hit someone in the fucking face with your fist?
Because that... Come on, Steve. How, you're not going to get a severe concussion from a fist to the face. Especially the way that they fight. They usually fight, I got my left hand full with a fistful of your jersey, you got your left hand with a fistful of my jersey, and you're exchanging jabs. Maybe a hook here and there. They're not like knockout power punches.
I know, I wasn't really on the side. I was kind of like, you know, if that's what the game is, that's what the game is. But then, I mean, like, the more I'm thinking about it, like, how do you feel about instant replay in baseball?
They need it.
So you think the game should change?
That's not really changing the game.
It is.
How is it changing the game?
Because, well, then why do traditionalists not want it?
Because they're my retarded.
You ask my dad upstairs if he wants to see a replay in baseball.
He said no?
Yeah, hell no. I think that's insane. Get the fucking calls right.
Well, here's my viewpoint on hockey and fighting in hockey. Do I think it should be changed? I don't care. I don't care either way.
That much is what I was, I mean,
really. I watch all, see, I don't really get tuned into to hockey until the playoffs start. Because playoff hockey is a different game than regular season hockey. I know you can understand that. Because I'm sure it's the same way with basketball. You got a 7-game series, and it is much more urgency.
That's another thing I always hear is, the NBA, they don't try in the regular season, they're not trying as hard. Motherfucker, have you ever watched a game? Because if you're saying that tells me you haven't watched a game. And why are
No. See, those people are stupid.
There's a different intensity.
Exactly. That's what it is. Turn it up a notch.
It's the fact that it's, you know, win or go home. I think there's just that feel to the game. There's like an ambiance almost to the game. But I genuinely don't think they're trying as hard. If they're not trying as hard, then why are the Oklahoma City Thunder like 35-12 or whatever the fuck they are? Because they're trying to win every fucking game.
Yeah.
And they are. Right?
Yeah.
Alright. So
it's not that they're trying harder. It just seems that way because of the atmosphere. The fans care
more.
Well, and obviously the team does care more. And obviously, if you're in game 7, you're down by 5 with, you know, 90 seconds to go, you're going to try real fucking hard to win that game. You're going to try a lot harder to win that game than you would insert random regular season game here. Where you're, let's say it's like there's 3 games left in the season, you're locked into the 3 seed. Are you really trying that hard to win that game? Not really.
No, not if you're locked in.
If you're locked in, no, not really.
No, and then you rest your starters.
Exactly.
There's discussions of that.
But you don't rest your starters in playoff games. You know, they stay on the floor as long as possible.
Oh, yeah. You'll see most NBA teams. That's the biggest difference is right now, during a regular season, you'll see a lot of teams with like 9 or 10-man rotations. Mm-hmm. By the time the playoffs are like in, it's like 7-man rotations. There's like 7 guys on a team playing in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
dude, hockey is intense, dude. If you've never played it before, but ice hockey is intense. You're on the ice for 45 seconds, sometime from anywhere between 45 seconds to like a minute 15 at a time. And for that minute or so, you are going 100% full bore.
And how long do you usually sit for?
You usually sit for maybe, generally there's 3 lines.
So you sit for like 2 minutes?
So you sit for like 2 or 3 minutes, and then you're back on the ice. And obviously, stoppages of play count.
I wanted to fucking get back to something, and I almost forgot, and thank God we got back into hockey. One of the reasons why I've been liking soccer so much lately is because I'm kind of watching it, and I always hear basketball players go, well, it's so much similar to basketball because you're looking at different passing angles and similar, like, they run like a give and go all the time and things like that. And I'm watching soccer, and like, I'm picking it up, and I'm going, holy shit, soccer, like, I enjoy soccer. Now, like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, I can't watch hockey and just, I can't. A fuck, like, America's supposed to be playing in the next 2 or 3 days to try and qualify for the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to fucking miss that shit.
Wait, oh, the, for soccer.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to miss that. You know what I mean? But...
Who are they playing?
Some Spanish country or...
Spanish country? Like from South America?
Or Latin America.
Latin America.
Maybe. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I'm not going to miss that. But you could... If you kind of... It definitely helps. I always heard Kobe, like, since Kobe's been elite because he grew up in Italy and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So he always talked about how soccer is somewhat similar to basketball.
When did he move to Philly? We come for high school.
Eighth grade.
Yeah, right before high school.
Yeah, and he was kind of rich. You know, his father had money because he played professional basketball, and he went to a really like preppy high school and everything.
What school did he go to?
Lower Merion.
Okay.
It's a suburb of Philly. It's a nice area.
Yeah. Yeah. People in Philadelphia have kind of a chip on their shoulder about him going to L.A.
What, it was his choice?
No. He got drafted by...
You know who the Sixers drafted that year?
No idea.
I'll give you a hint. He ain't in the league no more. And...
Was it AI, no?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the Sixers had like the second pick that year.
Well, I mean, Kobe was picked first, no?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, he wasn't?
13th.
Really?
Yeah. You didn't know that? Yeah, think about that. Should Philadelphia have a fucking chip on their shoulder when they drafted the fucking idiot Allen Iverson?
Well, the people in Philly didn't pick AI as their pick. The team did.
Yeah, but see, the
kind of like the same thing with the Donovan McNabb draft. When they picked Donovan McNabb, they wanted Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people wanted him, not McNabb, so they booed the pick. This could have been... I'm not saying that this was the case, but, I mean, how many people watched Kobe? You know, this is our home... This is a kid from our fucking city. We want him on our team. And we're upset with that pick that they didn't pick him up.
But now whenever he comes to Philly, they boo the shit. They fucking hate his guts. This is a guy that's going back... That goes to Philly every year, donates money to the city, to different schools.
All those people are just fucking plain ignorant.
Okay? He goes back and visits his high school every year. He does, like,
that's just plain ignorant. I can't. I have no time for people like that.
Like what?
I have no time for people like that.
Philadelphia has for Kobe.
You know what? Speaking of hating athletes, Donovan McNabb. Did you hear what he said?
I think I.
He was on ESPN's First Take.
And he said something about RG3 or something.
He was talking about RG3, but at this particular point in time, they were talking about Tebow being the most criticized quarterback in the history of the NFL, or in the NFL, or in modern day NFL. It doesn't matter. But who's the host of that show? Whoever the host was, he's the one that said it.
Skip Bayless.
Yeah, so Skip Bayless.
He's not really the host. It's usually Jay Crawford, but go ahead.
But as soon, didn't even get to finish the sentence, Donovan McNabb was, no, I was.
He was.
Do you really think so, though?
Dude, you guys were so fucking
open. We're talking on a national level here. He was embraced nationally, Donovan McNabb. But locally around here, he was a punching bag.
Well, I think that's what he felt, though. I mean, really, I think... I thought it was disgusting what you got. I'm sorry. I think that's one of the reasons... You know, Philadelphia fans went from being assholes at games to just being fucking idiots. Idiots. Like, the way you guys treated Donovan McNabb was gross. Was gross. Best quarterback in your franchise history, not even close, not even a question.
Well, here's the thing.
That brought you to a Super Bowl and conference championship every fucking year. He was the best quarterback Philadelphia has ever known.
And if
that
wasn't
debatable.
And if you ask the people that booed him or hated him at any point, they would probably agree with that statement. You might get a few that say they would, you know, if you could take any player in their prime, you might get some of them that said they would rather have Cunningham or maybe Jaworski. But for the most part, you get a lot of these people would say, yeah, Donovan McNabb is the best quarterback we've ever had in the franchise.
So then why the Heat?
Because look at what he did. I mean, he made it. I'm not agreeing with him. I'm explaining it to you. This is
what he did was get to a Super Bowl and throwing up on the field in a playoff game.
I'm literally
throwing up on the field, giving everything he has, and you suck, Donovan. Fuck you.
But every time he's had a big game in his career, he's come up small.
He got you to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he didn't win the Super Bowl.
How many guys have been Tom Brady in a Super Bowl?
Two. Two. He lost twice, and it was only one quarterback.
To who?
You know who it was. What's your point? I finished getting your coffee.
The point is, how many... Now, he played against guys like Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner won big games, right? He couldn't beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Who else did they beat in a Super Bowl?
Yeah, but here's the other thing. How many NFC championships games the Eagles go to? They went to, what, three?
Say that again?
They went to three NFC championship games with Donovan McNabb?
Okay.
All three of them, they were favorites. I do?
Yeah.
All right.
So
we just looked it up. It's actually five. The Eagles went to five NFC championship games with Donovan McNabb. And I'm not sure if every single one of them they were favorites in, but a good majority of those, they were the favorites to win. And he only won one of those. So he's 1-4 in NFC Championship games and 0-1 in the Super Bowl.
All right. Top five quarterbacks of all time. Go ahead.
Of all time?
Yeah, just...
Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Steve Young, Peyton Manning. I'm kind of drawing a blank on five.
You're not fucking giving me the right... You didn't give me the name that I wanted you to say.
What name did you want me to say?
Dan Marino.
There you go. Dan Marino, I agree with that.
Alright, so top five quarterback of all time. You say Dan Marino, okay? How many Super Bowls does that guy have?
None, but he's got the stats.
Okay.
So and that's why he's considered Hall of Fame worthy. He's got the stats.
You don't think McNabb's a Hall of Fame quarterback?
Absolutely not.
Really?
No, I actually heard...
Let's go here. Here's where I'm going to go. Is Curt Schilling a Hall of Famer?
You could make an argument for it, yeah.
But he doesn't have the stats.
But he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He's not? Why not?
Like you said, he doesn't have the stats.
But he won.
This is true, but so do the same
big fucking games.
This is true. I mean, and that's why.
So, but McNabb's got numbers.
No, he's not.
You.
His numbers are. If you compare his numbers to other Hall of Fame quarterbacks, he compares to just one, and that guy doesn't even belong in the Hall of Fame. He shouldn't even be there. He doesn't have.
Who's the one guy that he compares to?
It was some obscure name that I've never even heard before, and they mentioned it twice. I don't remember what it was, to be honest with you.
I personally think McNabb is pretty... He's fringe Hall of Fame, the way I feel.
That's the way I felt before, that maybe, but...
So what made you change your mind?
Well, maybe is that comparison to these... There aren't that many quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame that haven't won a Super Bowl. So that's a knock against him right there. He's never won a championship. Just hasn't. Look at his postseason record.
All right, I'm going to go somewhere with you. Is Eli a Hall of Famer?
He's got a better shot than McNabb does. And I put envision the golf course. You have the green, you get the fringe, and then just beyond the fringe, you get the rough. All right? If you're
Where's
not,
a fairway?
A fairway is in between the yeah. your tee box.
I know. No, never mind. Never mind.
Envision a green. Forget the fairway and all that. Just a round green.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
You got the cup, you got in the middle of the green, and then around the green you got the fringe, and then around the fringe you got the first cut, and then you got the rough.
Okay.
All right. So you got four levels there. I put McNabb at the just inside the second cut, which is the cabbage, the long grass. I put Eli on the fringe.
Eli is definitely a Hall of Fame quarterback, but.
Here's the thing. I put him on the fringe right now. Do I think he ultimately will get into the Hall of Fame? Absolutely. He absolutely does. But if you were to come out and retire now, hypothetically speaking, I don't know that he'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he certainly would get
I'm
in.
I'm looking at like your. Your main stats over here, passing yards, and this was before, I know he didn't play much last year. Actually, this is from 2009, so I'm sure these stats are totally different now, but at that time, he was 33rd all-time in passing yards.
Okay.
Okay, that's pretty good. Passing TDs, he was 29th all-time.
The completion percentage wasn't all that spectacular.
But completion percentage, he never really had any legitimate receivers besides T.O. And what did he do with...
Now you're bringing the abstract into the argument.
Well, you could say it's the same thing about, whatchamacallit? Marino, Mark Duper and Mark...
Yeah, all right, then who does Tom Brady play with? What receivers does he
get? Tom Brady is... There's a reason why when I said the top five of all time, the first name you said was Tom Brady.
Exactly.
There's a reason for that. Tom Brady is Tom fucking Brady.
Exactly.
I'm not comparing Donovan McNabb to Tom Brady. You can't do that.
But if you gave Donovan McNabb's receivers to Brady, don't you think Brady would have the same success?
Yeah. I said a second ago, I'm not comparing Donovan McNabb to Tom Brady.
But he's the measuring stick.
Playoff wins, Donovan McNabb at that time was sixth all time in playoff wins.
Playoff wins?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. The Eagles went to the playoffs a lot.
Passing yards, 12th all time. In the playoffs, 12th all time touchdowns.
All right, I'm going to use your argument again. I'm going to use the argument you always throw out there. Stats. What's the ultimate stat?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Rings.
Rings. Okay, so okay, fine. I'll concede this. If I'm conceding this, you're supporting my argument for Eli.
Yeah.
Okay, so Eli is the fucking man.
No, Tom Brady's the fucking man.
Who just busted his ass?
Eli did.
Alright.
But who's got more rings?
Alright, by one. One
and,
or two.
And,
either
just
way,
one. This
yeah,
one.
Look.
Well, let me ask you this. How hard is it to win a Super Bowl?
Incredibly.
So one's a lot.
Yeah, but would you be shocked if Eli got another one? I wouldn't be.
I'd be shocked if they win again this year.
They win again. You know how it never happens in football.
They lost Manningham. They lost
Jacobs.
Those are the two that I can think of right off the top of my head. Where did Jacobs go? Didn't he go to the San Francisco?
Yeah,
and so did Manningham.
Yeah.
Did they sign somebody yet?
Who?
San Francisco quarterback.
Alex Smith.
Did they bring him back? Yes, they extended his contract?
Yes, sir. Bob.
And Alex Smith, you are a smart man for accepting said contract.
No, yeah. There was talk of him going to Miami after...
And that would have been dumb. That would have been universally stupid.
I would take him to Miami.
As a fan.
As a Dolphin fan, yeah.
As a fan, but in the personal interest of Alex Smith, that would have been a dumb move.
Yeah,
because you think about it. You continue on with the success. You get a contract from San Francisco, and then once that contract is up, you have the option to go somewhere else if you so choose. So if you stay with San Francisco now, as opposed to going somewhere else and having it blow up in your face, you have the opportunity for two contracts instead of one.
I thought this season was long as a Dolphins fan. We just traded Brandon Marshall for fucking nothing. Next year's going to be even longer.
Wait a second. They traded Brandon Marshall?
Where the fuck have you been?
I knew that they had traded him, but what did they trade him for?
A third-round pick.
That's it?
Two third-round picks.
They couldn't get higher than the third round for him?
That's what I said. I thought he was worth at least a second.
He's their number one receiver.
One of the best receivers in the league.
What? To who? The Patriots, right?
No, they got Brandon Lloyd, though.
That's all right, yeah, I got the two brains mixed
up. You know where Marshall went?
Did he go to Denver?
Went to Chicago.
Ooh.
Now, fucking, they finally have a weapon. That team's winning the Super Bowl. If I had to pick a team to win the Super Bowl, it's going to be Chicago.
Chicago's looking scary.
And they picked up another running back, too, a fucking beast. Chicago's going to win the Super Bowl.
Marion Barber retired.
Yeah.
So they had to pick up a number two running back. Who did they pick up?
I'll tell you in 1 second.
The NFL offseason is so fucking interesting, isn't it?
It was pretty crazy how quick it happened.
Well, after the Peyton Manning sweepstakes, people kind of like got off of it, but there's been a lot of moves.
Well, the Brandon Marshall thing was the very first thing to happen in the offseason. It was the very first thing to go down.
But nobody really talked about it because everybody was so fixated on where Peyton Manning was going to wind up. You know what I mean? I didn't hear about that. And I listen to sports talk radio, you know, like it's my fucking job.
Well, they franchised Matt Forte. Matt Forte is, like, furious.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's... I feel bad for him, too.
They should pay that man.
Yeah, he needs to be paid. Who the fuck did they get?
You know, also going through a contract situation, it's a running back. Shady McCoy.
Yeah.
He wants an extension, and they better fucking give it to him.
You need to give it to him. But I'm hearing that there's some offensive lineman or something that's not going to be there, and that's going to hurt his production a lot. Who the fuck knows?
Jason Peters. One of the... arguably the best guard in the league.
Name another guard.
I can't. Can you?
Not this time of year.
Jason Peters, arguably, if not the best, he's in the top three. And he goes down with an Achilles. Now, here's the issue with that. It happened in, I think, Phoenix. In a Philadelphia facility. It was an off-season workout that he's doing on his own.
Right.
So, legally, the Eagles don't have to pay his contract for this year. Because it didn't happen in a team facility. I'm going to be pissed if they don't pay him.
Yeah, he needs to get paid.
He needs to get paid, man. You got to treat your players right.
And that's one of the things Philadelphia never did right, ever.
No.
Ever. You guys, mostly the Eagles, not
well,
too much.
Well, I wouldn't say ever, but they're not consistent with it. Some players they do treat right, like they did Westbrook a solid.
Meanwhile, they screwed themselves and let T.O. go.
Well, T.O. was a little bit different.
Wait, are you blocking in Tony?
Hmm?
Are you blocking in Tony?
Yeah, I am.
I think it just went out.
Shit. Well, let me make this point real quick. T.O. was a completely different animal than Westbrook. Westbrook wasn't a head case. He wasn't a head case. He wasn't a headache for the team. He didn't cause waves.
But the only time he went to a Super Bowl was when you had T.O.
Well, this is true. T.O. is a piece. But he was making waves in the locker room. That was the big problem with him. But that's not my point. All right, I gotta go move my car. Hang on, kiddies. I'll be right back. So my point was is that T.O. Do you remember that whole situation, like how it went down?
Yeah, I do.
He was like causing problems. He was crying because he wasn't getting the ball and this, that, and the other. That wasn't how Westbrook was. Westbrook was an
interval. Westbrook was a running back. It's different.
Yeah, but I mean, we're comparing apples and oranges here. But if you got one play, it doesn't matter what position you play. If you're a cancer of the locker room.
But a running back's not going to complain about not getting the ball because they're getting the ball.
Right. Well, okay,
so
all right,
you're never going to have that problem.
All right, so T.O., you complain about not getting the ball.
All the time, and my foot's asleep, and I can't move.
You complain that you're not getting the ball. Why don't you try and get open more?
Yo, the problem wasn't T.O. I don't remember T.O. really complaining that often about not getting the ball. I really don't. I just don't.
He was just bad for team chemistry. He was causing a division in the locker room. What's one of the biggest reasons why the Jets have a big problem? Because their locker room sucks.
No, I think they're being poorly. I like Mike Tannenbaum as a person. I don't think he's a good GM. I think that has a lot to do with it. I think they picked up a lot of older players who are kind of past their prime, and that's one of the. And Sanchez has nothing to work with. The defense is kind of old and aging.
You're kind of missing my point. Their locker room is a grease fire.
Yeah, but I think even if it was a, you know, like, I think even without it being a grease fire, I don't think they're that good on paper.
Well, regardless,
who's their running back?
Who's Sean Green?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, who's
the best receiver? Santonio Holmes? Santonio Holmes is a high level. Yeah, one good game. And
give me your top five coaches. Give me your top five coaches. Or even
Coughlin, Belichick. I can't think right now. The guy in Chicago. I can't think.
Mangini?
Lovie Smith.
Or Lovie Smith.
Lovie Smith is a good coach. Andy Reid.
What do all three of those what do all those teams' locker rooms have in common? They're under control.
Right. But
and they don't take shit. And if you step out of line, you get put back in line or you get put off the team. Simple as that. I mean, look at who Ocho Cinco was before he went to the Patriots.
And then look at how he acted. Him going to the Patriots, I think, if you remember the year before that when he was in Cincinnati. I think Ocho Cinco gets a really bad rep from people who were paying fringe attention to him. He was only talking shit and cocky when he was fucking killing it. As soon as his game started slowing down, he wasn't really talking much. He wasn't saying anything.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like he got to New England suddenly changed. The year before that in Cincinnati, he wasn't being a fucking cocky, arrogant person.
But if he had gone to New England in his prime, don't you think Belichick would have either not gotten him or put a stop to that.
Because Randy Moss was still kind of like a jerk when he was in New England.
And what happened?
What do you mean?
He was there for a year and then they booted his ass.
Yeah, but he was there for a year and they won and they let him go for that year and they let him be a fucking beast and they let him do his thing, right?
Yeah, but he wasn't like, you know, T.O. Ocho Cinco type going nuts. He never brought bad publicity like those two did.
I think. That's the other misconception. Like, he brought bad publicity. T.O. was never arrested. He was never getting into trouble.
Yeah,
he'd go out and shit.
Yeah, and he'd show his ass every Sunday.
He'd show his ass.
Make an ass out of himself. Make himself look bad.
I disagree. Dude, look, it's going to happen. I always stuck up for T.O. I think what Eagle fans did to him was atrocious.
What did they do to him?
You're fucking in bed. You guys just made a complete mockery of the guy.
Well, see, you're biased against Philadelphia
fans. That's not it, man.
If
that's
you are.
That's not it. That what you guys did to him really...
What did we do to him?
Not you guys. Not
before,
fans.
Before the whole controversy...
The guy should have been fucking paid, bro.
Yeah, before,
the guy came back from an injury
that's
that
not
he
the fan, That's not the fans?
The guy fucking came back from an injury that most guys would miss a month and a half. You know, like 6 weeks, and he came back in 2 weeks and fucking performed and played well in the Super Bowl. Huh? And you guys didn't fucking pay him. I'd be fucking
That's,
pissed, too.
You can't be
and
pissed
I'd cause
the fans?
A fucking... I would have done the same thing. I'd be doing sit-ups in my driveway, too. That shit was hilarious. It was fucking hilarious. I was dying. He was making you guys look like fucking retards.
You can't blame... You
and
can't...
Eagle
whoa,
fans,
whoa, whoa, whoa,
look
whoa,
at this fucking nigger. I heard that so much from Eagle fans.
You can't... Well, dude, you got people like that everywhere.
It was fucking retarded.
You hear... You have people like that everywhere. I don't buy that whole Philadelphia... Philadelphia's the only city that has meatball fans. Everybody's got meatball fans. Come on. But my point is, you can't blame...
There's a lot more Philly for some reason. As much as I look at your city...
Your proximity is why you hear about it so much. If you live somewhere else in the country, you would hear...
Motherfucker, I'm on the internet. I post on message boards. There's idiots everywhere. There's more in Philly. There's a lot of... I'm sorry. I don't know what it is.
Culture. It's the way the people are in Philadelphia. But here's the thing. You can't blame Philadelphia for not paying T.O. You can't blame the fans. That's on the franchise.
No, but... did you want him to get paid? Did you want him on that team?
I had mixed feelings about it because of we're going back, what, 6 years ago?
I know, it's tough to remember.
It's hard to remember what exactly happened, what transpired and all that. But, I mean, should he have gotten paid? Probably. And if we... But that's not something you can put on the fans. That's how the franchise operated.
The Lakers brought in Ron Artest. Laker fans were like, oh, we got this fucking lunatic head case in. Dude, we won a championship with him, and we celebrated his fucking craziness and retardation.
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. Before the whole controversy went down with T.O., we fucking loved the guy. Like, I remember I went to that year, I went to my first Eagles game. It was against Dallas. And... You hear all over the stadium, T.O., 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 doing the whole Ole chant with T.O. All over. People fucking loved him. You saw Owen's jerseys all over the place. And then when all that shit went down, that's when people got a bad taste in their mouth, and they turned on him. That happens everywhere.
I'll put it to you like this. For some reason, like I said, I always stuck up for T.O. I seem to stick up for these... players who have some personality and for whatever reason you like blandness, but whatever.
I like what?
Blandness. Boring guys. I got a nice haircut. Look at me.
Not necessarily true.
Shaved hair. No. My whole point is, but for some reason I cannot stand DeSean Jackson. And I always, like, And it has something to do with me not like Philadelphia teams because you know I'm not biased against players. You know what I mean? You know that.
But right.
There's something about DeSean Jackson that just fucking pisses me off.
Well, I'll tell you what you don't like about DeSean Jackson.
Because he doesn't play. At least Chad Ochocinco goes out there and he balls. At least T.O. goes out there and he balls. You know what I mean? He fucking
lays down.
DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
He doesn't play. And that's the thing, you'll never see T.O. do that. You never saw Chad Ochocinco do that. I'm sorry. They played. When they were on the field, they were balling. Whether or not they were talking shit and having fun and dancing after they scored a touchdown, that's fucking awesome. That makes the game fun.
Yeah. Well, you know what happened with DeSean Jackson this year, right?
He got franchised, right?
No, they re-signed him. And okay. I'm trying to find the
would
details.
Yeah, that's right. They did. What did you think of them? Yeah, we had so much to catch up on, everyone. Jesus Christ.
We're behind. We are behind. He would have made 9.4 under the franchise tag, but they went ahead and re-signed him.
Are you happy he's an Eagle for the next couple of years?
I'm reserving that that opinion for a later date.
When you re-signed him, how did you feel?
I was like, okay, whatever.
It wasn't excitement. It wasn't...
No.
Fucking... No,
you, do you know why? Do you know why?
No, I get it. Because
well, see, now my... Now, and here's the thing. When I heard that he got re-signed, I was like, all right, whatever. Because if they didn't re-sign him, he's under franchise tag, right? How many receivers do you see come out of the draft and make an impact right away? There's always a lot.
A lot.
Always go out and draft another DeSean Jackson. It's not a big deal. And then you have him under rookie contract. You're paying him next to nothing. And he's making big plays for you, right? So I'm not really all that concerned whether or not he stays with the team or not. Now, the way
what
I...
What do you want done at quarterback?
What's that?
I mean, it's fucking... March or
you would
April
have to
1st.
We would have to move up in the draft to get a quarterback worth taking in the first round.
I guess you still want Vic for next year.
Who else is out there?
No, I agree. Who else? You don't have much.
He's your best option.
You don't have a choice.
You're not trading for the first pick. You're not trading for the second pick because the Redskins already traded for the second pick.
Right.
And who's the third best quarterback in the draft? So he's got some funky ass name.
Yeah. I can Ted, from Texas Tech, I think.
Yeah, well, they're saying that he's most likely going to be the third quarterback taken, and they were discussing what the Eagles have to do in order to move up to take him, and I think they said they would have to get up to the fifth round, I think, or the fifth pick or sixth pick, and if nobody takes him in the first round, if it falls far enough, he might not go until the second round. But I don't think they should be taking
Ryan Tannehill.
That's it. Tannehill. That's the guy.
Goes to Texas A&M. I was close. I know my shit.
Well, you follow college football. I never heard of him until recently. Because everybody's been talking about RG3 and Andrew Luck. But I don't think they should be drafting a quarterback. What do they need to draft a quarterback for? You got Vic under contract? Yeah. Right now, it's
first
not
all,
the right time.
What are your expectations
time.
With Vic at quarterback?
What are my expectations?
Yeah.
They changed. They changed when I heard about Jason Peters. When
and
before
Vic
Jason
quarterback,
Peters,
they're not a Super Bowl team, bro. He's not a Super Bowl quarterback. I've done like a complete 180 on him.
Yeah, you have.
And so have you, and now you're, like, on his dick, and I'm like, dude, he's not a fuck.
I'm not. I never really was on his dick.
You're pretty hardcore
words.
On his dick.
I was after last...
Not the way I'm
not,
on
not this
dick,
past
but.
Season. not at the 2010 season, the season where he, like, hung, like, 60-some, or 50, 40, 50-some-odd points on the Redskins. That season?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was high on Vic. Every Philadelphia fan was high on Vic. And then last year, he kind of, you know, took a shit.
But did I not say it was coming? I said it was coming, didn't I?
You did say it was coming. Now I think the real Michael Vic is somewhere in between those two seasons.
I don't, only for one reason. Because defenses figured him out. You saw that at the end before he got arrested and went to jail with Atlanta. Defenses were starting to figure him out. He hadn't been in the league for a couple of years. All of a sudden, he's starting for the Eagles. He goes off again. And towards the end of last year in the playoffs and everything, defenses were showing... That's why you guys weren't going to the Super Bowl the year before this, when you guys were in the playoffs with Vic.
Well, see, here's the thing. What was supposed to be different this year, before Jason Peters went down, who had...
You signed everyone.
Huh?
You guys were on a huge signing spree.
Oh, yeah, with all the free agents. Here's what happened. All right, we made a trade for that middle linebacker from Tennessee.
Right. No, not from Tennessee. From
Houston.
Houston,
I'm sorry.
D'Amico
I get those two teams
D'Amico
mixed
Ryans.
Up. D'Amico Ryans, 59. Fucking good linebacker, dude.
That was a hell of a trade.
Hell of a trade.
Yeah.
Happy to have him here.
He's a fucking beast. You better be good to him.
Yeah, you can count on me. I'll be good to him. But here's the thing. We made that sign like, oh, dude, we're fucking set. Like, maybe we don't have a top five quarterback, all right? But we've got great weapons. We got Shady McCoy. We got nice weapons on the outside, a lot of speed on the field. And really what our defense was missing was that inside presence. Now we've got one. You know? That was like one of the missing pieces. I'm like, all right, we can make a nice deep run. And now Jason, and one of the other nice pieces is that the Eagles haven't had a consistent offensive line for years. And going into the season, we're finally going to have all five offensive linemen coming back after having an entire year under their belt together. And now Jason Peters goes down with an Achilles. And now the big question is, who do you pick first? Do you pick up a guard?
Well,
or do you,
what kind of injury was it?
Achilles. Ruptured his Achilles. He's gone for the season.
Where did you guys draft at?
16, I think. 15 or 16.
You gotta get a guard. But the thing is, I mean, what are your expectations for this guy coming in, you know?
Well, see, I mean, we have guys that can... that are serviceable, that can fill in. But I still think you should be drafting a guard for depth, because what if one of those guys goes down?
Yeah.
Then you're really fucked.
Pick, you could use a third round pick for that.
Right.
Still get a good guard.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people saying we should still draft. Like one of the things that I really think that we're lacking on this team is a good like 6'4", you know, 220. You know,
and Justin Blackmon, some
big dude that, yeah, well, we ain't going to get him.
Justin Blackman's all fuck you.
He's going, I think he might be going third.
I don't know if he goes third. Who's got third?
Minnesota.
Well, then the question is Christian Ponder the answer at quarterback in Minnesota?
I think, well, he's only
like
been
Ponder, though. He
he's
good.
Only been there 1 year.
Yeah, he looked good, I think.
So they're not going to bail on him after 1 year.
Well, yeah, okay, the next question is, why not Trent Richardson? Because Adrian Peterson's always fucking hurt. Toby Gerhardt's, you know, he's not a good backup running back. Trent Richardson could come in and make a difference.
I mean, Adrian Peterson's not always hurt.
I guarantee you, he's missed at least two games the last 3 years. At least two games. Guaranteed. I'll check. But I'm fairly positive.
No, because I had him 2 years in a row in fantasy, and I never had to worry about him except for bye weeks.
2 years ago. Remember?
I did trade you.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, he missed like 4 games. This year, I remember whoever...
He had that knee injury this year.
Yeah. And when he was in college, he had a serious injury and missed... I think he got hurt in the national championship his last year in college.
Oof.
Yeah. And that was like a torn ACL. It was like a serious injury. The guy's always fucking hurt. Always.
So I see your point, but I mean...
Why not go get Justin Blackmon? Or Trent Richardson, I'm sorry.
All right, it depends on what kind of offense you want to run. You know it's a passing league. Right?
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson, Toby Gerhardt, they're serviceable backs. And you have no weapons on the outside for Christian Ponder to work with. Who do you have over there? You have...
I'm trying to think. They do have a receiver, though. They have a really good receiver. I can't
Bernard Berrien... the little guy with the migraine problems, Percy Harvin.
Yeah.
Those are your two wideouts.
Harvin's a beast.
He's small. He's a small guy. He before Sidney Rice left, he was a slot receiver.
Yeah, I don't know. Danny owned him this year, and I'm pretty good friends with Danny, so I kind of watched what Percy Harvin was doing. He was putting up fucking numbers.
Yeah, but those are fantasy numbers. How many games did he win for him?
How many
touchdowns?
How many games does a receiver win for any team?
We'll look at T.O. What did T.O. do to the Eagles? He brought him to the Super Bowl, right? I'm a big believer in that big, nice, 6'4 plus, 220 plus, wide receiver that can go up and get the ball in the red zone. Like,
I agree with that. I mean, how tall is Justin Blackmon? That's it. I say 6'2", 6'3".
That's close enough.
No. He's 6 foot.
He's 6 foot? Wow.
6'3".
So
7'8", so he's almost 6'1".
That's exactly, he's exactly as tall as I am. I'm like 6 foot and 7/8.
You're small. Right?
He's a burner, though, no?
I thought he was taller, too, though. I thought he was definitely a lot taller.
I think he's a burner.
He's a fucking monster is what he is.
I mean, you could be sure, but if you got them ups.
Three. Get T-Mac Khalil from USC. He's a beast.
Yeah.
Hell of a tackle.
But, so what do you do? What do you do if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, you're Harry Roseman? What do you address? You address that guard position in the first round? Or do you want to get yourself another weapon for Vic? There's a lot of different ways you can go. You can draft safety, although safety is not very deep in this draft. I think there's like one guy, and he's like a second rounder.
You want safety?
That's those are the two positions. Linebacker.
What's his name from Alabama? What the fuck's his name? Fucking Mark.
I don't remember. I don't know.
Baron.
Let me put it to you this way. All right. You have look at the franchise, all right? Let's take the offense first. And we'll work outside in. We got playmakers at almost every position. You got playmakers at wide receiver. Are you kidding me? He's one of the biggest playmakers in the game. And when I say playmakers, he can turn something into nothing into something. You got a playmaker at quarterback. You got a huge playmaker at running back. You got two viable playmakers at wide receiver. You have your third down, shorthanded receiver in Jason Avant. I think he's underrated.
Avant. No, the other kid's a beast.
You're not talking about Riley Cooper, are you?
No, wait.
Jeremy Maclin?
Yeah, that kid's a beast.
Yes.
That kid's a monster.
I mean, but he's like a clone to Deshaun Jackson. They're like the same receiver.
With that, the fucking asshole.
Yeah. Goodness. Exactly. He's like the way Deshaun Jackson was.
He's so perfect, fucking Maclin, because he's always catching the ball under.
Right. Everybody's like, why are you taking Maclin when Deshaun Jackson's still on the board?
I said it.
You said it too. And I was like, watch.
I was guilty. Hey, look.
But
I'm wrong.
Everybody's wrong here and
it's,
there.
It's rare, but.
But you got playmakers at all those positions, all the skill positions. Now look at the defense. We got nice corners. You got you got
Nnamdi
Asamoah and DRC. They're going to trade Samuel.
Yeah, I just heard that.
And you got playmakers.
What do you think you get for him? Like a third?
That's what they were throwing out.
That's
there.
About what he's worth, but I think maybe
he's over the hill. He's declining.
I mean, Brandon Marshall went for 2 threes.
Yeah, but he's in his prime.
Yeah, so if he went for 2 threes, then you'll be lucky to get a fourth. If you get
a single three.
If you're third, you're happy.
Yeah, he's a cover corner. He's not a.
Well, that's what you want. That's what corners are supposed to be doing. That's another thing. Look, Asante Samuel's a good cornerback. Your whole thing of a cornerback is supposed to cover. You're the guy doing the tackling of the safeties.
Yeah, this is true.
You know what I mean?
Here's the thing.
That's their whole thing. Once the cornerback gets beat, the safety has to come in and make the tackle, most cases. Just saying.
It'd be a bonus if you could tackle.
Yeah, but.
We had playmakers at corner. We have playmakers on the defensive line. All four of those guys on our defensive line are
good. So, yeah, you guys were mean to fucking Asante, too. See? Eagle fans are bad.
It's just critical. We're critical.
Overly critical for no
fucking
reason.
Because we love our team. We want to see them succeed.
I get that. But you gotta be much.
You're going off on a tangent.
Over the fucking top.
The reason why, or the two positions where we were lacking the playmaker was linebacker. The two positions we were lacking the playmaker was linebacker and safety, and we addressed the linebacker issue. So why not go out and draft the safety in the first round? Especially somebody from the SEC.
From what I remember, there was only like one safety that was like top 32 that you would take in the first round.
Yeah, there is. There's only one. I forget what his name is, and he's from Alabama.
Yeah, Mark Barron. All right, so there's other defensive backs. There's a bunch. Kirkpatrick from Alabama is a monster.
I wouldn't be all that opposed to drafting a linebacker. Get yourself a nice strong side or outside a strong side linebacker.
An outside?
Outside, you strong side, weak side, whatever.
Fucking Quinny Upshaw. I want him in Miami, though. I want Quinny Upshaw in Miami.
I'll tell you what, the way, if they continue with the wide nine, getting another linebacker would be wise.
Dude, Quinny Upshaw. Oh my God. Yo, we draft Quinny Upshaw. Fucking draft is good for me. That's all I want.
But
and he's not even ranked that high. Where's he ranked? He's ranked 50. That's realistic. For the, as a Dolphins fan, if we get Quinny Upshaw. Right, so we'll end up with
a big name.
Nick Perry from USC. I mean, shit, this is a USC guy.
What is what position does he play?
He's a defensive end.
Defensive end. Wait, what's the depth chart like with the quarterbacks over there in Miami? You got, is Chad Henne still on the team?
No.
So you got Matt Moore.
You're
and then
you really gonna
obscurity.
You really gonna do this to me? I'll check. I don't even know our coach's name. I'll be honest with you. I can't.
Well, you guys have had what 10 head coaches in the past like 11 years?
I hate it.
See I'll tell you what. That's it's like a love hate thing with Andy Reid.
Oh yeah, we signed David Gerrard. Yes.
You got David Gerrard.
Gerrard.
It's Gerrard.
Whatever.
Is he going to be the starter?
No, it'll be him and Matt Moore
competing
unless we draft a quarterback.
David Garrard's not a terrible quarterback.
Man, 34 years old, bro.
34? So how old's Peyton? How old's Brady?
Listen to what you're asking. Listen to what you're comparing him to.
I'm comparing him to the ruler.
Yeah,
they are the measuring
like
stick.
Two of the best quarterbacks to ever live.
Yeah, they're the measuring
okay,
stick.
David Garrard was never that good when he was 31.
No, but they're the measuring stick. They're the measuring stick.
Worse now. He
was injured last year.
Exactly. He hasn't even played in a year.
But he was still on the roster.
Who gives a shit?
So how would you feel about Peyton Manning? You wouldn't be like, oh, fuck,
it's
we got Peyton
Manning.
Peyton Manning,
at least. At least it's Peyton Manning.
That's a
it's
neck
something.
Problem.
It's something.
It's a neck
at
problem.
At least he did something before anything. He's never done anything. Ever.
Hey, was he ever on
he
any other team
He barely took
the
job from Byron Leftwich, and Byron Leftwich was a beast.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Wait, Byron Leftwich?
Yeah.
Didn't he play for Tampa?
No, Leftwich is a Jacksonville.
I thought he played for Tampa at one point.
Maybe he did, but it was Jacksonville. Mm. Now you got me questioning myself. I'm pretty sure it was fucking Jacksonville.
You should see the fucking spikes on the on the recording here.
Yelling?
Yes, you.
Yeah, Jacksonville, motherfucker.
He never played for Tampa?
He did, for a year.
See, I know my shit.
You didn't remember when he started. He started in Jacksonville.
But I knew he played
like,
at Tampa.
He was
at some
like
point.
A starting quarterback for Jacksonville. Everyone knows Byron Leftwich as the guy who was carried down the field in college when he went to Marshall, and like his offensive lineman carried him to the next play because his ankle was like he couldn't walk, and like when he dropped back, he like was on like dropped back on one foot, was throwing passes and carried him to a win, but he couldn't even walk. And then he was drafted by Jacksonville, was pretty good, and then he lost his job to David Garrard.
That's the first time I've heard that, but then again, I never used to follow college.
Kill you. How have you never heard that?
I never followed college football. When was he drafted?
2003.
Alright. I was like just starting to become like a big NFL fan like back then. Just starting to. So, like, not only did I not pay any attention whatsoever to college football, I barely paid attention to the NFL.
Over, under one ring for Byron Leftwich.
What do you mean, over, under?
Over, under one
Why
ring.
Why are you doing with that? Put it down.
Over, under. Second thing. Over, under one ring for Byron Leftwich.
What do you mean?
Did he win a ring?
No.
Wrong.
Oh, that's right. Shit, he was on the Tampa Bay team that won.
Wrong.
And who did he win with?
Pittsburgh.
As a backup.
Yes.
Come on, man. That's so obscure.
As soon as I read that, I said, oh, yeah, that's right. Because he played a game that year.
He did. He was on the... Who was the other quarterback? Was it Cordell Stewart?
Roethlisberger.
Was it with Roethlisberger? Yeah. Wasn't he on... How many years was he on Pittsburgh?
He was there twice.
Both with Roethlisberger, right?
Yeah. In 08, he was signed for 1 year as a backup to Charlie Batch. Dude, what the
Charlie
fuck? Nobody
Batch.
Wants to hear this analysis of fucking Byron Leftwich. I just realized what we're talking about. Everyone's like, who cares?
We apologize.
The other thing that we were trying to figure out like 10 minutes ago or whatever was the other person the Bears signed. It was Michael Bush.
Yep.
From Oakland. And that's an awesome pickup. That offense went from, like, the most stagnant offense with zero weapons to, like, holy shit. Yeah, Michael Bush, Matt Forte, man. Brandon Marshall, Jake Cutler. Now Devin Hester could do Devin Hester, and I could be the top receiver on that team. Holy fuck.
Devin Hester can be, like, DeSean Jackson, just run a go route down the field.
Yeah, and Devin Hester, like, exactly.
That'll draw safety.
And now Brandon Marshall gets to fucking kill you.
Yep.
They got a good tight end, Greg Olsen. Now, dude, they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Jay
Cutler's such a good quarterback.
He's so
underrated. Good.
He's so underrated.
Hey, we agree on something. Look at this.
He is so underrated.
It's a Sunday six-pack first, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's not. Come on. There are some things that we agree on.
We agree on something sports-related. Sunday six-pack first.
How's
it going?
We got a bit of a tentative announcement to make.
I'm going to let you do it because I don't know what you're talking about.
AC?
Oh, yeah. I'm not getting my hopes up because every time I seem to promise something on this show, it doesn't happen, so I'm not going to say anything. And if it happens and we have everything in hand, then we'll talk about it.
All right,
I'm not promising anything.
I'll
have a possibility of a cool surprise for you in June.
Yeah.
But let's
pull the reins back on that. We are going to the UFC show in New York.
In Newark, yeah. Newark. The show's in Newark. We're going to UFC on Fox. We're buying the tickets like civilians.
Yeah.
But that's going to be a fun weekend. Yeah, hint to the June move. Who knows? That'll be awesome though.
Yeah, we could say that at least if it's a UFC surprise.
Yeah, it's a MMA surprise, and it's something to be excited about. Speaking of MMA, what's going on here? I don't even. You know, it sucks because the last show was like a month ago. The next show, I believe, is John Jones Rashad Evans on April 20th? April 21st? Yeah, April 21st.
It's in Atlanta.
It's in Atlanta, yeah.
And the only reason I know that is because Joe Rogan's having his special recorded in Atlanta on 420.
That's right. Yeah, that's going to be a hell of a... Dude, the one person I think could beat John Jones is Rashad Evans. He's got a real shot. You know, they used to train together.
They used to train together?
Yeah, they're in the same camp, and then so you don't know the story.
You know how little I know about the sport. I'm learning. I want to learn.
So pretty much what happened was they both trained together at the same camp, right?
Mm-hmm.
last year, this time, Rashad Evans was supposed to be fighting Shogun for the title. Shogun was the light heavyweight champion at the time.
Mm-hmm.
This time last March, I went to that show, watched Shogun lose to John Jones, and it was horrible, horrible, horrible night because Mirko Krokop also lost, and my night was ruined.
You still had a good time.
Oh, yeah, it was a great time. It was, honestly, I mean, I don't want to go on a tangent, but I've been to playoff basketball games, playoff baseball games. I've been to, like, major sporting events. MMA Live, the UFC, namely, Live, is the best live sporting event I've ever been to, and it's not even close. So, with that said, Rashad Evans was supposed to fight Shogun that the show I went to.
Right.
Okay. Rashad Evans blew a knee training.
Mm.
So, at that time, John Jones never really beat anyone yet.
Right.
But the UFC was scrambling to get the main event and get a title fight for that card. Well, they give it to John Jones. Now, all of a sudden, you got two guys who are going to be, even if John Jones loses, they're both going to be high ranked in that division, right?
Right.
So, even if Shogun wins, and then you got Machida's right there. Who else is in that division? Dan Henderson's right there. Quinn Rampage at the time was right there as far as like top five rankings. But you had two guys from the same camp. They were both training at Greg Jackson's camp in New Mexico with Carlos Condit. You remember Carlos Condit, who just fought Nick Diaz. So you had two guys who would pretty much be on a collision course at some point fighting each other. And at one point, they were, like, the best friends in the world. They, like, hung out together and everything. And then John Jones beats Shogun. He's a champ. And Rashad's like, well, you know, I'm going to want the fucking title. I want to be champion again.
Right.
Because Rashad's been champ before. So he ended up leaving the camp. But, the press conference... what was it, last month or a month, 2 months ago, when they were both there? Fucking, there's so much bad blood. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a great fight.
Why is there bad blood? Because...
Well, they used to train together, Rashad. There was a bad breakup. It was just, you know, a bad breakup, you know.
Well, who made the decision on who gets that title fight? I mean, that was handed down from above.
It was from Joe Silva, Dana White, you know.
Yeah, so how could like... insert you and I in that situation. I wouldn't be pissed off at you.
I wouldn't be pissed off at you either, but...
I'd be happy.
How do you train... Okay, so let's say this. Let's say Rashad doesn't leave the camp.
Right.
Okay, well, what happens now? How do you have Greg Jackson training both guys?
I see that. Like, obviously you want to go to another camp, but I don't have to be pissed at you.
Well, there's a whole thing because... Okay... I get into the whole thing. What happened was, after Shogun won, right away, or after John Jones beat Shogun in Newark, when I went last year, Rashad Evans, Dana White makes Rashad, you know how once in a while, like, the next contender will come into the cage after, like, the main event, and, like, they'll do a stare down, or they'll say something real fast. Well, Rashad Evans was like, Don't get too close to the bell. I'm going to take it soon because originally they were supposed to fight like 3 months from last March.
Right.
They both got hurt. The fight was put off. Rashad's injury was a little worse. He had to wait like another 6 months. John Jones' injury was like 3 months. So he fought Rampage. And then Rashad didn't want to go right into a title fight when he came back. He wanted to get a couple of warm-up fights. You know, like, he wanted to fight again because he had a fight in, like, a year.
Right.
So, all this time, you know, there's just back and forth shit talking. Rashad was saying John Jones faked his injury, or John Jones said that, you know, like, oh, he faked his injury, things like that.
You know, it's a lot of shit talking.
Exactly. And then, so, it was a bad breakup, and now... Collision course, April 21st, for the title. Finally. I'm looking at the card, though. It's not a great card. Bochick and Wyman's a good fight. Rothwell and Brandon Schad's a good fight. Rory McDonald's a good... Yeah, it's a decent card. Definitely not going to miss it.
That'll be my first live...
No, that's not, that's not the card we're going to.
Oh, no? What's the card that we're going to?
This is the April 21st card.
Oh, okay.
The fucking card we're going to is... I know Kostek, Johnny Hendricks is fighting, which is awesome.
Fucking love Kostek.
I do, too. Everyone hates him.
Why do they hate him? He's awesome.
Because he talks shit.
See, that's why... See, I like my fighters cocky.
So you like Nick Diaz, then?
I'm kind of coming around on him.
All right, well, the main event of the fight we're going to is Nate Diaz and Jim Miller, which is going to be awesome. Jim Miller's from Jersey. like Parsippany. Oh, like he's like a legit Jersey guy.
Him, then.
All right, then you got Josh Koscheck, Johnny Hendricks, awesome fight. Alan Belcher, Rosemar Polaris, that's a good ass fight. Pat Barry and LeVar Jackson, fucking awesome fight live. Tony Ferguson, Thiago Tavares is a good fight.
Do they ever have a bad fight?
What?
I don't think I've ever seen you go through a card and be like, oh, that's a terrible fight. I don't know.
Well, I'm not naming all the fights.
Okay.
So I'm skipping some of the fights there.
That are like,
yeah.
Or like names that are kind of obscure.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like a dick. Come on, man. You're making me like sound like a UFC shill. Jesus Christ. Yeah, you're making me sound like a shill. Damn. I'm skipping like shitty fights here. Yeah, the John Dodson fight's a good fight, too.
Well, I mean, when you say a fight's good or bad, are you basing it on these two guys are both good fighters?
Usually, yeah.
So, I mean, even these two obscure guys, it could wind up being a good fight. You never know.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the Atlantic City card, which we're going to one way or another, I mean, is actually a really fucking stacked card for a little arena. It's going to be... Apparently, Revel, the new casino opening up in Atlantic City, is going to have like a little event center that could hold like 6,000 people, and that's where the UFC show is going to be.
Because that's it's nice, tight, and intimate.
Yeah, it's going to be like it'll be like an FX card. It's not like a Fox or pay per view.
Right,
it's an FX card, but it's still a good card. Clay Guida, you know who Clay Guida is, right?
Heard the name.
He's got the long hair. Remember his brother, like, smacks him in the face before the fight?
Yeah.
Alright, Clay, you know, he's fucking kind of crazy. He's awesome. A lot of energy.
You gotta be kind of crazy to be a UFC fighter.
He's fighting Gray Maynard, the guy who fought Frankie Edgar.
I remember Gray Maynard.
Alright, that's the main event for the Atlantic City card.
Ooh.
That's a good-ass fight. The Rich Story, Rich Antonito fight's a good fight. I butchered his name. Luis Ramos and Matt Riddle is a good fight. Nate Cantone and Chris Camozzi is a good fight. Ross Pearson, Cub Swanson, an awesome fight. Ramsey Ninjan's fighting. Brian Ebersole's fighting. It's a good card for an AC. Dan Miller, remember Jim Miller, who we were just talking about from Jersey? His brother's fighting, too, on the Atlantic City card.
There you go. Home stadium for him.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, MMA's fun. But, no, in all honesty, yeah, nothing really going on too much. You had Bellator in MMA. The next MMA or UFC card is UFC on Fuel TV, which no one fucking has.
Fuel? It's going to be on nothing else but Fuel TV?
You're watching online, I guess. That's why I did it.
What the hell is Fuel TV? I haven't even heard of it. It's supposed to be like Spike TV, but different? Like a different network?
It's a really small... No one has it. You don't have it. I don't have it.
Who does have it?
The Midwest. Some cable companies carry it.
But it's like you have to pay for it to get it?
No. It would. If we had it, it would be standard.
It would be standard?
Yeah. Exactly. It's actually a pretty good car, too. Fuck. Alessio Sakara versus Brian Stan.
Why would they go?
Damn, Alexander Gustafsson versus Thiago Silva.
Yeah, but why would they go?
Diego Nunes, Dennis Hever. What the fuck?
Dude, why would they go to some obscure channel when they've got contracts?
It's owned by Fox. It's
so. Why wouldn't Fox carry it?
What do you mean?
So if this channel is owned by Fox, Fox obviously knows that not everybody has this channel. Do they not?
That's the main issue. Dana White keeps going, well, call up your cable providers and request it.
Well, not necessarily, but then all your Fox affiliates for local areas can carry, and then Fox can do whatever Fox does. You know, the main channel, like Channel 5.
Big Fox.
You carry it on your local affiliates, your local affiliate Fox stations.
I agree.
Channel 29.
More UFC, the better.
Yeah.
More MMA on TV, the better. But it's not. Look, it is what it is.
How do you have a television network that's not universally available? Seriously.
In 2012.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree.
Fail. Absolute fail. When's this going down? June? July?
Which one? The Atlantic City
one
card?
No. One you just were just the one that's
the
on fuel.
No, that's next week, April 14th.
Oh, I was gonna say maybe by the time this rolls around, maybe we'll get Fuel TV, but obviously
not. We're not going to it. It's in Sweden.
It's in Sweden?
Yeah. Remember we were talking the other day though about how, or not the other day, maybe it was a couple podcasts ago. We were talking about how international MMA is.
There you go, Sweden.
You know what I mean?
Are there any Swedish fighters?
I'm pretty sure there's a couple.
There's gotta be.
I can't think of
it. I figure at least every country or every major country's got at least one.
Yeah.
At least.
Even Canada. Fuck you, GSP.
Yeah. Do
what
not
else?
Like.
What else?
About what?
Anything.
About anything?
What about Trayvon Martin getting shot?
Oh, the thing that Bill Maher was talking about?
Yeah.
What exactly are the details of that story? Because
no one really knows. What we do know
is... All right, well, tell me what we do know.
What we do know is Trayvon Martin is a black guy wearing a hoodie, and the guy who shot him...
a white dude.
He's Spanish, I think.
Spanish?
He looks Spanish, but he's got like a Jewish name.
Was that the was that the picture that they were throwing up there?
Did they say he looks like Chaz Bono?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See the guy. They flashed a picture of two different guys. Were they the same guy? Or? Because I want to see what this asshole looks like. What's his name?
Just type in Trayvon Martin, please. George Zimmerman, that's his name. Pretty much, George Zimmerman is on a neighborhood watch, and he says, "Oh, I never saw him." And in Florida, you have the right to shoot anyone if you feel threatened in any way. You could just shoot him.
That's a law in Florida?
That's a law in Florida.
If you feel threatened in any way?
In any way. You could say, "Oh, he made a weird face at me, and I didn't feel right, so I shot him in the mouth."
And that would be perfectly legal.
And that's why he's still not in jail. That's why everyone's all up in arms about it.
That's the problem.
The kid was unarmed.
Problem.
He's a high school kid. Unarmed. He was wearing a hoodie. And that's what he said. He was like, "Well, he was wearing a hoodie."
How old is this kid?
Who, Trayvon Martin?
Yeah.
17?
My dude, he looks younger than that.
How sad is that?
That's fucking sad, dude.
Okay.
I'm looking at
now,
this kid's
you
picture.
You heard what they were saying on Bill Maher about how if the roles were reversed and Trayvon was the one that shot this guy, you think
you'd
Trayvon
been locked
up?
Exactly. Absolutely. Would have been locked the fuck up.
And it wouldn't even be a hesitation.
This George character looks like more of a scum than this kid does. He looks so nice.
Trayvon? Don't
yes.
He? It's a shame,
how
bro.
Can he be threatened by that?
It's a shame.
It's not like he's got, like, you know, the earrings and he's all tatted up. He's got a nice clean-cut haircut.
I mean, like, even if
he's wearing a Hollister shirt.
That's what I mean, bro.
Come on.
Yeah, just shoot people.
Come on.
Just shoot people, right? Is that what's happening? Come on, man.
That law is fucked up. See, that's totally different.
It's called the Hold Your Ground Law.
Hold Your Ground Law? They need to wipe it off the books now. They needed to wipe it off the books yesterday.
And where's it at? In the South.
Of course.
See, that... Look, Florida gets... You know, Florida gets a good rap because people think there's a... For some reason, people think there's a low population of white trash in Florida. Look, unless you're in fucking Miami and Southern Florida... It's all Southerners and white trash.
And hillbillies.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing, you know. Obviously, Miami's got a high Cuban population. It's Miami. It's a major city. It's down...
And all the major cities have a bunch of Northeastern retired old people.
Yeah.
But everywhere in between is filled in with the same people that you find in Alabama and Texas and Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, any name the southern state, South Carolina.
There's a reason why, per average IQ level, their IQs are lower than the people in the Northeast. I keep saying it. Turn that fucking thing off. Jesus Christ, we're trying to have a professional podcast over here. Who was it?
My parents, actually. Let me take this.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly where we finished up because Mike had to take a phone call. But, no, there's just a reason why per average IQ in the Northeast, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Boston, wow, there you go, idiot, Massachusetts, Rhode Island,
Connecticut. Way to disprove your point, Steve.
You know, the average IQ is higher. Where does that come from? Well, let's look at it like this. Most people in the Northeast are just, what's the word?
Well, where are most of your Ivy League schools?
Almost all of them in the Northeast.
Exactly. And when
I think all of them are. Right?
Yeah. And well, see, here's the other thing. Most of your major cities are in the Northeast. What's associated with major cities? Big business.
Big business, diversity.
And that's where smart people go to make their money.
Right. Diverse people. That's one of the reasons why New York's one of my favorite cities. It's just so diverse. It's, you know, you don't get a same old looking old white guy as you do if you, you know. It's such a shame because it's like you talk to people and it's they have this. You talk to older people like our dads. Your dad's a little different than mine, but it's like he has such an old white man approach of looking at the world, and it's kind of like, how do you get to that? Like, I really have trouble. It just
let me put it to you this way: you look at how your dad looks at the world and how he reacts to it, and then think about how you view the same situation differently.
Okay.
Think about how your grandfather looked at it. Even more different.
When we talked about it that time, right? Is that what you're bringing up?
No, I'm just bringing up like how viewpoints change from generation to generation to generation.
Well, yeah, like my grandfather. I'm just gonna take my grandfather on my mom's side only because I seem to have all these kinds of discussions with him, much like you. But it's usually he feels way, way differently. And he's a Democrat, and he's from Philadelphia. You know what I mean? Like, he's a smart guy. He's like I said, he's a Democrat, but he's like, oh, in the hell no, gay marriage. Interracial marriage is, like, disgusting to him. How can, you know what I mean? And, like,
typical.
I think I told this story on here once, and I don't give a shit. I'll tell it again because whatever. We were talking about the South and black people. I'm sure you'll remember the story as I get into it. And he said, "Well, the black people in the Northeast are more uppity." And I go, "Well, what do you mean?" I knew what he meant, but I wanted him to tell me. I wanted him to put it. I wanted him to convey his message. I wanted him to elaborate. So I said, "Well, what do you mean by more elaborate or
uppity?"
Uppity. And he goes, "Well, they're more opinionated." And I go, "But you're not an opinion, right?" And he goes, "Yeah." I go, "I'm pretty opinionated. I know I am." And I was like, "A lot of the people I know are pretty opinionated." I go, "What's your point?" He goes, "Well, the people in the South are more quiet and everything else." I was like, "You mean they know their place?" You know what I mean? He goes, I was like, what gives you the right to have more of an opinion than any black guy?" I was like, "Really? What gives you the right? What, because you're white?"
I remember the story now. Yeah.
Okay? Like, and it's the fucking truth. And how can anyone look at the world like that?
I don't know, but here's the thing. Everybody from the South is like that. everybody from the South is more laid back. It's not as fast paced. Everybody is so nice down there. You've been to the South, right?
Yes.
Southern hospitality. You know?
Yeah, until you go under their property and they don't know you, then you're getting shot in the fucking ass. Right?
Yeah, but I mean, why would you go on somebody else's property? You don't do it here. Why would you do it down there?
Never mind. Yeah, point.
I mean, that's my point. Like, he's taken that whole Southern culture and just applying it to one specific group. But he's not recognizing that that's just the way people are down there. White, black, Hispanic, Mexican, whoever, whatever. That's just the way they are down there. He's assuming that the white people down south are just like they are.
I mean, in fairness to my grandfather, he has traveled the world. So, like, he's been in every state in this country multiple times. And so, like, I'm sure he knows that white people are just as, you know, like we said, Southern hospitality and da 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 da. So look, if that were the case, then he wouldn't have a problem with interracial marriage.
If what were the case?
If he wasn't applying the fact that, like what you said, he thinks that everyone, he thinks it's just black people that are quiet in the South, and it's just everyone.
Right.
Okay, so if he thought that, then by that same logic, he really wouldn't have a problem with, like, interracial marriage, which really is...
Well, no,
I mean, that's, like, that is that even a... I didn't even realize that could be a controversy anymore.
Well, see, here's the thing. When I say that, when I said that, what I was kind of pointing out is that he's a little biased.
In what way?
Towards black people.
Like, I wouldn't even classify him as, like, a racist. I think
I'm not saying
he might be unknowingly a racist. Like, the things he says are kind of like, okay, can't really say that, you know? Like,
it's a bias. What? You can be biased without being racist. I mean, there are some people...
It's the same thing when my dad talks about affirmative action. It's the same fucking thing where my grandfather, who's a fucking Jewish guy, talks about affirmative action. Okay? Or my fucking mom, even better example. A Jewish woman complaining about affirmative action. Bitch, it's for you too! You know what I mean? Girls get hired too because of affirmative action. They have a quota to fill too for just as many girls. Just as many Jewish girls. So if you can fill Jewish girl... That's a good thing.
How do you feel about affirmative action?
It's good. Because there are so many fucking closet racists. It's necessary. It's fucking necessary. Now, I don't like the fact that... I'll put it to you like this. I don't like the fact that we could both be taking the same test, and I score a little higher than he does, but they got a quota. It's like... Not that it's a
that I don't like about.
I think it needs to be
fair.
Yeah, but how do you make it fair? What's the fairest way to do it? Because there are there are so many closet races.
Yeah, there are.
There's a ton. So how do you make the hiring process fair for blacks, Jews, Asians, Spanish?
It's really kind of tough. I'm a firm believer in the best person for the job should get the job, regardless of what your race or religion is.
I know that's how you feel, because you're not a fucking racist. But how would you counteract the racist people who are in a position of power? How would you make it so that's fair for them to be hired?
Well, see, here's the big problem that lies there, because... Hiring the decision to hire someone, one person over the other, is subjective. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not like you take a test And you get a specific score on that test.
Right.
So you can't regulate it. And the only way to regulate it is to say you have to have this many, this percentage of blacks, this percentage of Hispanics.
So
that's the only way to do it.
I agree. Exactly. So that's why affirmative action, as much as it kind of screws over the white people a little bit, you know, it's necessary. It's a shame that it's necessary. I wish we could do away with it.
In due time, we will be able to get rid of it.
When?
When?
I mean, like,
how many people our age do you know that are racist? Not very many.
Not many, but it's because of, I think, you know, it's where we live.
But let me ask you this. People in our generation, if we met some dude in Atlantic City that was racist, like, you know, he walked up behind us and like a black dude just like won a pot and he came up behind us and just muttered like, oh, fucking N-word, right? Would you associate with that guy?
No,
you wouldn't. And moreover, you probably wouldn't hire that guy.
No.
I feel like the people that have an open mind when it comes to race are the smarter people, and the cream rises.
Right.
People that are stuck in the fucking 60s, they're going to sink to the bottom, and they're not going to be the ones making the decision on hiring and firing. And eventually...
But the states... Okay. Look at the South. You know what I mean? I genuinely feel bad because I feel like I'm just like fucking hillbilly bashing. But
they're so close-minded. They're stuck in the 60s.
Okay, so if they're stuck in the 60s, how do you get them unstuck in the 60s so the people who own businesses there have to hire black people? So the black people get a fair shake. How do you do that?
Here you go. Affirmative action is a national thing, yeah?
Correct.
Break it down. Make it state level.
What do you mean?
Make it a state law as opposed to a federal law. Say, the federal law, change the law to... It is up to the state whether or not they want to employ affirmative action.
So you want smaller government?
Well, you're just...
Yes or no? You want smaller government?
It depends. How is that smaller government? You're taking
power away from the federal government and giving it to the state.
Yeah, but you're transferring the power from one form of government to another.
Okay, now take the state of Alabama. Do you think the state of Alabama is going to go, okay, we need affirmative action? Or do you think they're going to be like, fuck no? Now, do you think a state like New Jersey, who might not need it, New Jersey probably doesn't need it. Agreed?
Yeah, you got a point there. It'll probably be reversed. The states that need it are going to be the ones that don't have it, and vice versa.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got me. That was a half-baked idea.
I mean...
And you can't have a federal law that just affects certain states, as opposed to
Then you're really exposing the fucking retards.
Yeah,
you're retarded. You need this law.
These states up here in the north, they don't need to follow that law. But you motherfuckers.
Is that Texas? Yeah, you definitely need that law.
Yeah. Speaking of Texas, man, how do you feel about the immigration policy?
The way I always go back to it is this. I wouldn't be in America if it wasn't for immigration. Right?
Right.
Okay. It's that simple.
There's
like 0.2% of them that are coming here committing crimes, okay?
It's not crimes that I'm necessarily worried about.
What the fuck are you worried about?
Bill Maher was just talking about it with healthcare. and how you could be a bum. And if you get shot in the leg, they're going to take you to the emergency room and they're going to fix you up. Right?
They should.
They should. Okay, illegal alien comes over. Same deal.
So you fucking... What do you want to do? Stand there and stare at him?
What I'm saying is that they're coming over here and they're using our healthcare system. They're finding ways to collect on welfare and things of that nature that are taxpayer funded, and they're not paying taxes.
So they're
leeching off of our economy.
So what do you think the solution is, Mike? Let them continue to leech, or make it easier to become a citizen?
Make it easier to become
a citizen. Okay, and that's what they want. That's what they would ask for. They want to be a citizen. They want to be able to participate and not go, oh, shit, there's a cop. If I'm speeding, I'm fucked. I'm getting deported. Don't you think they'd rather be able to live their lives regular?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, whose fault is that? That's this country's fault for making it so fucking hard to become a citizen.
Why do they? Do you even know what the process is?
I kind of went through it with a family friend, and it took her about 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah.
God damn.
Okay? So, to me, the problem doesn't lie with them. The problem... Look, it's a shame because I fucking sound like the most anti-American douchebag in the world, which I'm totally not. This country has so many good things, but it really, really has a lot of good things. Like, there's a lot of things I would miss if I moved out of America, okay? But there are so many fucking dumb, retarded things in this country that make me go, I need to get out of here. The fact that it takes that long to become a citizen in this country is fucking insane.
4 years.
Okay, the fact that people want to become citizens in this country and they can't is insane. Now, I think we have a problem with Puerto Rico. Because Puerto Rico, every time we go, okay, we want you to become a state, they're like, fuck that, we're not paying no state tax. But they still get all the benefits of being an American. They get to vote, they get it all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's a problem there. They're American citizens through and through, Puerto Ricans, you know? They're American.
But they don't pay any federal taxes.
They don't pay any state taxes. They pay federal.
Okay.
From the way I understood.
They don't pay state taxes?
State.
So how is their government funded?
I think it's federal.
So it's all federal?
Yeah. So if you commit a crime in Puerto Rico, you don't go to a state prison. You
federal prison.
Federal.
Federal pound me in the ass prison.
Yeah.
See now, what they should do with that?
Puerto Rico is something needs to be done with.
What they should do with that is you're either going to be a state or you're out.
But how shitty would America look? Little old fucking Puerto Rico and fucking gigantic America goes nah. You can't afford, you know what I mean? We're supposed to be the leaders of the free world, and we can't fucking afford to keep Puerto Rico. That's the way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like they're free.
It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. And America has enough foreign affair issues yeah. because of
it would probably piss off a lot of people.
The Woody from Toy Story being president, you know
what? Who?
I was saying America has enough foreign affairs issues because we had Woody from Toy Story as president.
Who are you likening him to?
Bush.
Which one?
What?
Senior or...
Junior.
Yeah. Oh, God, he's a fucking... Oh, my... A bag of hot air.
Okay.
Did you ever see that picture of him reading to kids? And he's holding the book upside down?
I always said... I always said, though, it's like watching a fucking retard go, on, weird vacations. You would see him, in pictures of, dancing with, different African tribes. He looked like a fucking retard at a Last Wish Foundation. You know what I mean? I'm dying. I'm dancing. What the fuck? He always looked like that to me. He always looked like a slow person about to die, and he's going on his last wish.
He was a C student that used to do blow.
That's what I'm saying.
That's exactly what he was.
Oh, well, he went to Harvard. Yo, he went to Harvard. Yeah, he went to Harvard, yeah, on his own merit, like our current president.
No.
Exactly. Come on, man. Can't not compare the two of them.
No, not even close.
Air.
Not even close.
What else? Yeah.
Oh, but getting back to the whole, what's that kid's
name? We were talking about Trayvon Martin?
Trayvon Martin.
How did we get there?
Dude,
we
migrated.
France.
We migrated quite a bit there.
We're like, we'll wrap it up as soon as we're done with Trayvon Martin.
Yeah. This was all done, you know, off the record, but. No, but that's just so sad. Like, that law is fucked up. It is, like, the law in Jersey, as far as gun control is concerned, you have to jump through a bunch of hoops. You have to go through an extensive background check to even get a gun permit.
Now Walmart's selling them again everywhere else.
Well, Walmart has always sold guns. You can always go to Walmart. You could always go to Walmart to sell and buy a gun. Even here in Jersey. That was a chair. But, no, you have to jump through so many hoops. Like, My dad, you have to get references. Our friend Brad got a gun permit.
Shout out.
And he put my dad down as a reference. My dad's a judge in the criminal division. And, you know, Brad's a nice kid. He's not like the type that's going to pop off and pull out his handgun and shoot somebody in the face because he looks at him the wrong way. He's a good kid.
Never know. You might come in, break your refrigerator, and... throw dog food all over your house in a drunken rage.
He didn't do that.
He knows what I'm talking about with the dog food.
I don't know what you're talking about with the dog food.
Brad does.
Oh, he does.
He like stepped over it or something. Dog food went everywhere. He was like, I'm not cleaning that shit up.
Oh, right.
Or something like that. I forget what it was. I really don't.
Anyway, and then once you get that gun permit, that just means you're allowed to buy one. As far as being able to carry, you can get a concealed carry permit, and that's completely different than a gun permit. There's two different permits you need for that. If you don't have a concealed carry permit, the only way you can transport that firearm from your house to wherever you're going to be using it, like a range or if you're going hunting, is you need to have the gun and the ammunition separate in their own individual lock boxes in the trunk.
Besides Brad, your dad, do you think people really follow that to the T?
Probably not. But then you're going to walk, if you don't, you're going to wind up like Plaxico.
What do you think about Plaxico? That whole, never mind.
In regards to...
Never mind.
Well, he pulled a cheddar bob, he's an idiot. Why do you get to bring a gun to the nightclub? Although, you could put it like this. You ever hear that Chris Rock joke? He said, what's the problem with going to a club with metal detectors? So when you come out of the club, everybody knows you ain't got a gun. Right? So, I mean, I can kind of understand that.
I have a weird fear of the like going to the mall. Because it's such an enclosed place, anybody can get into there. It's like the least secure place in the world. And it was so easy to fucking just murder everyone.
That happened.
And it scares the shit out of me every time I go into the mall.
Have you ever heard the song by,
probably not.
Yeah, I'll play it for. I'll play it at the end of the show. But it's a song by, the song's called Pumped Up Kicks. And the name of the artist is escaping me right now. But it is actually based on something that actually happened where these kids, they were kind of ostracized by their peers because they didn't have, like, the trendy, you know, sneakers and the shoes and all the brand name stuff.
Yeah.
So they went to the mall with a gun and started shooting all the kids wearing trendy shit. And, you know, they say all the other kids with the pumped up kicks hope you can run faster than my bullets, you know?
Yeah, so, see, that's scary.
I'll play that song at the end of the podcast.
It's always freaked me out for some reason. Even the casinos. I don't like going to casinos, too. There's a little more security there, but casinos scare me, too. And I, you know, if you know me, you know how much I love going to the casino.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, there's, but the difference between the casino and the mall is you've got like an army of people watching a gazillion cameras.
That's why I said it's more secure.
It's a lot more secure than the mall.
But how easy would it be to go in, put a bag down, leave, and boom, it blows up? Think about how easy that would be.
I guess if you have it on a short timer, yeah. But you wouldn't be, dude. They would have all that footage. You'd get caught.
So you're an Arab terrorist. You don't give a shit if you get caught.
Well, if you're an Arab terrorist, you're probably going in there and you're gonna blow up the package.
Probably.
But why? Why a casino?
So, high death rate, high murder rate. Take out a lot of people. On Saturday night, we were just there on fucking Tropicana. You know what I mean? We were just there at Tropicana Friday night. That place was fucking mobbed. You could have taken out a good 10K.
Yeah, but I mean, are they more concerned with just killing random people, or do they...
Terrorists? They'll take out anybody who doesn't believe the way they feel.
Yeah, but what would they rather do? Would they rather bomb a casino, or are they going to take a shot at a government building?
No, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying, it freaks me. You're just trying to make me feel better?
Yeah, I'm trying to make you feel better.
Thanks, I appreciate it. No, I get what you're saying. It's just, I see how easy it would be, that's all.
Yeah. But...
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we kind of have to wrap this up.
We're going to wrap it up. It's done.
It's done. And here's a... little pumped up kicks for your enjoyment.
So next week we're gonna have another podcast.
We're going back on the weekly plan.
We're gonna promote this, and it's on the air, so now you have to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, we made a Facebook and we made a Twitter. We never touch it, either of us really. So we gotta do it, and I say this every podcast. Fucking go out, tell people, like, I'm pretty sure this was a pretty entertaining podcast. I'm just saying. It felt like it was a pretty good podcast because it was pretty free-flowing and we just talked and bullshitted. And it was good talks.
Of course.
So I think people who do listen, even if it's like five of you, go tell one person. Be like, hey, this is not a bad podcast.
Yeah, tell a couple of people. Give it a listen,
you know?
If they like it, they feel
I think
all down the line.
We are going to make a move to a legitimate website at some point. I think that's the only thing, one of the things that's holding us back. And I mean, I know we're talking about this on the air, but I think it's the truth. This Podbean thing, I think if we had like a little .com action going on, you know what I mean? But, seriously, it was a good podcast. I enjoyed recording it. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed talking to Mike.
And keep listening, man. We're going to keep cranking them out. We got some surprises.
Yeah, we're going to try and get that guest next week. Mike's going to logistically handle getting the guest that we said from Israel that we were trying to get in before we brought on our hiatus. We're going to try and get that going
again.
That was... going to be a fascinating subject.
Absolutely.
So.
Alright, we'll see you next week. Here's Pumped Up Kicks.
Next week, motherfuckers.
Peace.
Peace.